fish passage plan, or?
February 2009.
This just came in hot off the press within the hour.
My husband's not at his desk.
No, I got one. I'm going to add that one on. So I guess we're planning to be here from 1 to 4-ish.
If you want to be eternal optimist. Early, if you want to leave earlier, we won't stop you.
Okay. Well, we can...
We can try.
I usually go verbatim over this agenda, but let's... if anything added that needs to be added on,
make sure
besides Russ's, which I'm going to put into number 17.
Greg, I thought I got all of your stuff.
Coming around.
I think you do there have the turbine unit operation at Canary.
Yeah, that's the number...
I couldn't find it.
Russ's comments are new. They're not in the packet.
Yeah, because I did send it in to...
Rick, you want one? You got a copy?
I think it's on page number 6. I think Ryan found it. Something about Ryan found it last night, the old one.
Here it is. You see it?
Page number 21.
Oh, I don't see it on the agenda.
It's not on the agenda. It should be if it's going to be a...
I thought I got it all on there. Oh, are you talking about the change form?
Yeah.
Yeah, the change forms. We'll go through all of those.
Yeah, we'll make sure that's on it.
There are any additional change forms?
Please have a question.
I'll be happy to have them.
I just have a question about one of your change forms.
Yeah, oh yeah. Want this, the good, the bad, and the ugly. So we're going to start with the good first. All right, let's move on to the bad.
I have one.
So it's the good, the bad, and the ugly.
It's an announcement, a little
goose. No, it's the good, the bad, and the ugly. He's ugly no matter what. Not you. No. So is anybody calling? Is Houseman on there?
Houseman's supposed to call him, but he's not there yet.
All right. Well,
oh, there he is.
Anybody else on the phone?
Right. You hang up, save your minutes.
All right, well, let's get moving.
No problem with minutes.
Yeah.
Review and approve the agenda. Just did that. Meeting minutes from December and January that Tammy sent out back in, I don't know how long ago, but it was been a while. Is any comments?
Weeks.
Couple of weeks. Dave, you got any comments? Minutes? Both Dave's?
Even and/or Dave's.
Rick's? Gary's? Okay, done. Action items. Sacagawea substation transformer. Did you get that language in?
Still working on it.
You're still working on it?
Did you have the first letter?
So, are we expecting to get some draft language for the fish passage plan?
Yes. And you dropped dead Monday, right?
Drop dead.
Tomorrow.
It's never. There is no drop
dead. Just makes two. It's a 2-week review period.
I'll remember that, Gary. Just keep sending it to me. I'll work on my vacation. No big deal.
Tammy's going on vacation tomorrow to Orlando, so...
Hey, what else are you going to do in Orlando?
I had to make a few comments.
You going to be back Monday?
I will not be back Monday.
I'll be back. So...
It's raining and everything.
But she will be working. Fish count lights. Ann was going to put a write-up detailing that. Do you know if there's anything from Ann on that? I guess she's on vacation.
Yeah.
We'll just carry that one. Stancil offered assistance. Did you give assistance?
I gave her all the assistance she asked for.
Yeah. Good answer. Grizzlies, Fredericks would like a rough timeline for the proposed work, and Houseman's supposed to present a rough draft of a schedule in the next couple of months. Ben, we're at you at 2.3. Ben?
I hear it. I don't have anything on that right now.
And shall we expect something next month?
Sure. It just kind of dropped off priority during winter maintenance.
I hear you.
That's why I was asking for the timeline.
So he wants now a timeline, not a rough one.
Oh, and the rough is gone?
Rough is gone, and the next couple of months is gone. So
okay.
Couple and rough is gone. Next month.
Got it.
Is that okay?
Okay. Words in my mouth. That's okay.
Well, no, I'm just...
Just part of the words.
Just took words out of your mouth, actually. 2.4, Cordy's going to follow up with Dave McIntosh for the switchgate seals at Bonneville and John Day. Small projects, and what do you got there, Miro?
The John Day switchgate is on schedule for this in-water period, which is before April 1st installation. As far as the coordination with Bonneville and the administrative process to make it a common contract, I have no clue. You have to get on hold directly with and talk with Dave McIntosh.
Okay. Ben, has there been any talk with the John Day project on this?
No, I was under the impression it was getting done, and we would be, once there was a decision made on the type of seal we were going to, that we would put it in at Bonneville, but I have not heard a thing.
Okay, but we do have that seal determined and what it's going to be.
I hope this is still doable this year. Again, the point was to save money on the common purchase, but I'm not part of that, so no idea.
So
I can contact the contact in small projects, whoever that is.
Yeah.
McIntosh, apparently?
Yeah.
McIntosh is the John Day mechanical engineer.
Oh, okay.
Small project, Mike Adams or Liz, what's her name, Callison? Something like that.
Elizabeth Hall.
Hall. I'd contact Mike Adams.
Okay.
He's pretty good at getting back to you.
Got it.
Any discussion on that? Galvanized grates. Bob will have another set of water samples taken. Do you know if he's taken any more samples with the galvanized?
Yes. We have replaced one diffuser work of gratings. On the east ladder only. We were planning on the north ladder, small diffuser up there at the counting station, but it didn't happen. So that particular diffuser can be tested. It's ready for testing. And we will be taking more samples. They're very inexpensive, so we think it's just a routine procedure now.
Yeah,
after
it's just
each segment, after each diffuser gets installed, we'll take some water samples.
So do you know if that sample was taken yet?
No, it hasn't been taken.
Okay.
I think it's supposed to be taken in March.
Okay. Well, where is Bob anyway?
Is Bob? I think he's
Bob on
sure exactly,
leave?
But he's taking care of his father who has some foot surgery.
Okay.
So he's on sick leave.
Okay. And Bob is back at the project for you guys. There's been some changes. Dennis Schwartz is chief of operations at Bonneville on a detail for 4 months. What else do we have? Any changes? RCC fish biologist is vacant. Dan's the temporary chief of the RCC.
He must be loving that.
File? Is the chief now?
Yeah.
He's temporary chief.
Temporary chief.
Did you ask him if he's going to wear some golden shoes?
I did.
He's got some really sweet bright green elfin shoes he wears.
Nice.
It's
even
better.
Freezing over.
They could be better. No, I'm not going to check.
Okay. Walla Walla spill response plan, Tim Dykstra is going to review with the Walla Walla spill plans. Has he reviewed them that you know of?
No, not that I know of. Tim had one.
Tim's on vacation right now, so.
Yeah, he's on vacation this week.
The spill response plans for the Walla Walla District. We've got some on the agenda here for the Portland District, so we wanted him to review those. Okay, carry that one.
What exactly would Tim need to do to review it? I mean, I know each and every one of the projects have got a spill plan, but Gary, you brought that up, didn't you, last December? Or what was it we needed?
I think it was just to review them, make sure that they existed and they are actually accurate.
Pass the notes to what our rationale was.
Yeah, do we remember?
I can pull them up for you.
While Tammy's pulling them up, we can move on and come back to that.
Can you call for ones for
the update?
Entrance gate elevations. You know my technique. I'm getting good at this. After 2 years, yeah. Entrance gate elevations openings, Dave Wills commented that he had created a table and offered to provide it.
I didn't realize I did that, but that's okay.
All right, well, that's your action.
I do have...
You have a...
I do have a table, but it was put together. I provided it to Greg when I sent some questions to him a couple weeks ago. But I forgot I was supposed to maybe share with a larger group.
Okay.
So it's one of these things where I don't think everybody needs a table so long as the tables or the information in the Fish Passage Plan is consistent between projects, at least mm-hmm. the information is there. And that was mainly the thrust of the question I gave to Greg.
Yeah, there's a number of questions he came up with. Was, you know, there's North Shore Weirs, there's North Fish Weirs,
well,
things
yeah.
like that, but yeah. I can't go back in the history of those.
Yeah, so I mean, if these are a little more than cosmetic, I think it helps the understanding when you're going through, but they're not the most critical things. I think the biggest question I had was on the South Shore entrance at Lower Monumental, and I don't understand what it means when it says number 2 is 6 feet above the sill, and it gets kind of fuzzy. What does it mean? How long for the, you know, is it all season, or what does it mean? I don't know. Why?
What does it say in the Fish Passage Plan? Does it say it can be at, the weir can be at elevation about 500 something plus 6 foot?
South Shore entrance.
Houseman.
Southeast 1, operate 8 feet or greater below tailwater. Southeast 2, raised 6 feet above sill.
Fixed.
I mean, it's shut.
It's fixed.
That's fixed.
It is fixed.
Okay, for the whole season.
Shut, isn't it?
Okay.
6 feet above sill doesn't mean it's closed.
No.
It just means 6 feet above sill.
Fixed.
It's stuck.
6 feet above sill.
That's all it means.
That's what it means.
Which gate is that again, Bob? I want to get that one straight now.
South Shore?
North South Shore.
No, no.
South Shore 1 and 2. It's.
Actually,
I've got the older Fisher Hazard plan, so I don't know if the reference number is the same for this.
What's the question?
Well, I didn't understand what it meant exactly.
Okay.
And I had sent that to Greg. And
okay, so you shall resolve that.
Yeah.
Man, you're a delegated CEO.
You're next. You're on here. Yeah, I am trying to, you know, stay on schedule. So, Greg, you can go ahead and do that. And when you're done, can you forward FPOM the table from Dave?
Oh, no problem.
That way Dave's off the hook.
Well, let's make sure it's, well, okay, whatever.
Coordinate that with Dave, and when it's ready, send it to Tammy or me. Okay, 2.8, spill tables.
If you go back to 2.6, I have it.
2.6,
Moody,
spill response plan.
Yeah, Moody commented that Walla Walla has spill plans with booms and such as well. Dykstra was just going to review that all your plans have the booms and the proper deployment.
Response, yeah.
So 2.8 is reviewing the spill tables for completeness by the RCC.
I didn't hear back from Dan.
And we haven't heard back from Dan.
What table?
Spill tables for completeness.
Depends on what the fish operator plan says. It's not out.
No, the FOP. FOP is not out yet.
Shouldn't be that different from the biop. That's my point.
Hope Springs Eternal.
No, it really shouldn't be, because that does reflect the judge's orders relative to this letter.
Oh, no.
From the judge.
February 18th.
Operating like a bio. And that's sent to. Went out to the council. All of the parties.
It's going to be delightful.
Basically says a rollover.
No.
So hopefully it's intelligible. For spell.
rollover sort of spill.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of the tendency to agree to implement
it.
Recent quarter of spill operations for spring of 2008.
That's where he's telegraphing.
Okay.
So you have to convince him why you should do that.
Yeah, he hasn't said he will. It isn't an order yet.
But his track record basically says you have to prove to him why not.
I will ask. That's pretty.
Yeah. I will ask why I should do this.
Yeah, he's going to do it. What do you say?
I wouldn't bet against it.
No.
All right, well, let's move on. More good news. RCC added a link to the overview section for change forms. Should be done and in the fish passage plan.
Speaking of links.
Links?
Tammy's calendar. Where can we access Tammy's calendar on the web? Marvin sent out a link. Is that the way to do it now?
That is a way to do it, yes.
Yeah.
Or you can call me and I can send it to you.
If you want to link it on, yeah, Marvin's link is the calendar.
Okay.
Let's see. Bonneville Table 1, Bays 1 and 18 should say 6 inches open, not 4 inches. Has that been changed?
I don't know. I don't do that table.
Like half dog or
dog. Not easily.
Could we check that? Ice and trash sluiceway at Bonneville.
That language has not been
included. That language has not been included yet? Okay, so who's going to put this language in?
Let's see, if Tammy Smirch will say Dennis.
Yeah, it's Dennis Schwartz. We will.
Schwartz
will.
Who's not here?
Responsible for that as the chief of ops. Appendix A, Walla Walla is going to tighten up their research and testing language for all the projects, especially Goose RSW. Have you guys?
We got a lot of it completed. Done.
And
I tell you, your first language is not an RSW.
No, it's not. It's no longer an RSW. We no longer have RSW. We're spillway.
It's a TSW.
Spillway weirs.
Well, that's a TSW.
A TSW is a top spillway.
So what do you call this now?
Temporary spillway.
No, top spillway.
So this is an SBW?
So all stop. Language now is going to be spillway weirs.
Really? From the snake?
The snake and the...
That's the generic term, and then there's
really?
Some slightly
the SBW. Excellent.
Have you heard that?
Sorry.
All weirs are going to be spill bay weirs?
All weirs
top spill
the TSWs, RSWs, are all getting...
RSWs, we're getting rid of
them.
Guys,
we're talking about the acronym.
What?
Criteria for when we're going to raise the weir.
That goose?
Yeah.
Sean gave me the spill criteria late last night.
Okay.
I did not bring it with me. I didn't print it out.
All right.
We'll have to send it out. Is it everybody for comments here?
Did Sean send out a flow range, or did he say like when you have 5 days of this flow or more?
I believe it's a flow range because due to the difference in spill levels.
I know what it is. What I'm just saying, it's like total cue. It's total cue for how long. So, I mean, obviously, you're not going to want it because
that range a bunch of times.
Yeah, you're gonna. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Obviously, you guys have had to put some thought like saying when you're projecting to have this flow for like 5 or 6 days in a row, that's probably when you want to make a change, not when you're just going to have it.
We're at 212.
Oh, we'll go from the top to the low. I think it is a range of time.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure that's what it was. Okay. I'm going to think about it. I thought I meant
new.
When you make the switch, when you make the switch.
What's the trigger?
Short spill to do it. Three.
Short spill to do it.
What period of time will it last?
Okay. It's out for comment.
All right, so we'll expect to see that sent out. So 2.13 to 2.2 on the bottom of the page, these have all been completed. If you want to go one by one, we can. Or just read them. For 2.21 through 2.24 are all in the later in the agenda for discussion. And that brings us to updates. My first update is the John Day South Turbine Pump Rehab. Buy parts and specs for all three pumps this year and install them and get one pump each year completed. The plan is to continue to go ahead and get that one that's taken apart, put back together by the project, and then with the stimulus package, we're hoping to get a PM and then just start knocking them out as fast as possible. Instead of doing one per year, if it's faster, then we can go faster. But the priority right now is they have the funding to get the parts machined and put back together. The OPM there, Kimberly Oldham, she's totally got her feet to the fire right now to get it done, and she said she could do it. So.
Do you have a ballpark price tag?
It's total like $1.2 million, $350 for this year to get the parts and the labor to assemble the first one. What's that?
Oh, did you see that memo?
No, I haven't.
What's that?
The next one.
Sturgeon?
Not another Bonneville event.
No.
You saw that memo, didn't you?
So 3.2.
So burn back on 3.1 then.
3.1, yeah.
Move forward with that
all
at the same time?
Buy all the parts at once and then get this.
Then do the staggered repair.
The first pump that's dismantled right now.
Okay, I'll see if they can do
put it back together, hopefully learn a lot from that. And
not wait
hand it over, either hand it over to a PM if they feel they can't keep up, and we get the money through the stimulus package.
Okay.
For 10. It's a high priority for the district. Just so you guys know.
Good.
I've been pushing it. And the sturgeon event, fish memo was sent out 24 January. Issue was dewatering the Cascade Islands at the diffuser pools. There was a operator error that stranded a bunch of fish on the upper three diffuser pools.
No, I hadn't heard that.
And
that sounds familiar.
Someone turned it off from automatic to manual, and it basically
you want to run it down.
So the first time this happened, of course, we built the alarm so that the water couldn't go too low. Well, these new pumps had an automatic shut-off, and they worked. They shut off, but we had apparently operators go out there and decide there was too much water, and they switched it from automatic to manual.
At 3 in the morning.
And then walked away from it, and it by 6:12, the pools were dry, and it looked like about 50 sturgeon were impacted, but as it got lighter, it was probably more like 400 sturgeon. They all survived except the one that was squished by the man basket.
Well, we just don't know how well they survived.
Well, they were held in the pool 24 hours in the pool of water because we couldn't get them all out.
Yeah.
The water was, okay. So they were, how much water was in the pool?
Waist deep.
The pool that we dumped them into?
No.
They were dry. They were dry for probably an hour.
Like sturgeon on a grill.
Yeah, so I wonder what survival was.
Long term, I don't know.
24 hour survival looked
great.
Yeah, we have no idea. But I actually got to handle the fish myself.
They were very lively when we were moving them out of the watered up pool.
Usually when they're suffocating, they usually are pretty lively.
Was it raining?
It was freezing cold.
Freezing cold.
She got hypothermia and had to get pulled out.
That's beside the point.
Yeah. I don't care about
time. No, it was. It was.
Not really. Yeah.
It was kind of overcast, but windy. It was really. Really
it was
cold day.
Damn cold.
So yeah. I guess the other question is, what have you done to rectify that we are no longer going to have some person go play with buttons?
That person's no longer working there, right?
Cut his hand off.
That was
pretty good.
Maybe a finger.
No.
So how big were these?
The protocol is not going to change as far as how to use the pump. It's whoever's in charge.
Are you
going
to have to red tag this thing now?
Well, that's it.
But people can still override. You can't cure stupidity. I mean, if they're going to violate.
We tried, damn it.
I know.
The question is whether or not he's still working there. That's not how you cure stupidity.
Well, yeah.
so off to something where they can't.
I'm saying,
do
like, could you? I mean, because you have red tags, and everyone knows if you touch a red tag thing, you're probably going to get written up or something. So, I don't hope to God we don't have to go down that route.
You
could, but
if you were to do a clearance on something like that, because you have to be able to contact the clearance holder, it'd have to be a shift operator, and then you're just back to the person who turned it to manual anyway.
Shouldn't we go back to the real problem? Is why are the fish in the water? Shouldn't we keep them out?
Sturgeon?
Yeah.
How do you keep sturgeon out of the ladder?
Fish ladder. Well, write a one pager and we'll find a way to do it.
You want to keep sturgeon that are supposed to be migrating out of the ladder?
I don't think they're migrating. They don't go by the window. I mean, we didn't know they were there. This is the third year in a row now we've found 400 to 500 fish in the ladder.
I'm just going, I don't think we want to exclude sturgeon from the ladder.
I'm not sure you can. I mean, the size of those fish is going to be similar to steelhead. Or larger, sure. I suppose. But
these are the big ones.
Well.
I mean, these weren't little guys.
Well, they were small, and yeah, they ranged. They were the entire gamut.
You may be able to keep the larger ones out by putting the sleds in.
That'd be the only thing to keep the big boys out.
Yeah. It may be offering them some protection, though. Maybe that's why they're going in.
Yeah,
the
stillers were pretty active.
Right, but it's a catch-22. I mean, they're a predator, too. I mean, so who do you want to, which predator do you want where?
Sturgeon eating shad doesn't seem as bad as sea lion.
Well, they eat salmon too. They're not exclusive shad eaters. They'll eat salmon.
Yeah, they catch them.
Yeah, they got to catch
exactly geared towards catching salmon.
Well, they do. I mean, they get them in the belly of the tide.
They get super fast mouths.
But there's probably a way to keep them out of there.
Electric fence?
Oh, wait a minute.
We saw it works well on sturgeon.
Yes, I know. That's my point.
The project is doing their own investigation on why protocols were not followed.
We will look forward to an update of how we're going to
memo.
Yeah, you just keep looking for that.
Yeah, I know.
That's what I think.
Okay. I'm just a little concerned that stupidity is a nice thing, but is there some other ways you can encourage?
I think a red tag would be a great idea if that's a problem.
It takes too long.
It takes too long, but it's like, what's the option? You just hope that we don't have more stupidity?
Well, we could certainly operators figure out that they shouldn't be touching things related to fish without fisheries personnel on site.
I thought about putting a shock button on it.
That would be the next one. I don't know. When the project gets...
Ben's on the line. What do you have to say about it? Ben, what do you got to say?
Well, Jim Duffus, before he took his detail, came up with the protocol for his people, because these were operators that made that decision. You know, this is stuff in the past we've worked out between fisheries and the structural crew, and we've had no problems. So I don't think it's a protocol issue so much as an internal thing for the operators, and that's what Duffus has dealt with. I don't think it's going to be a problem again.
Okay.
I don't think putting a red tag on it is going to work out too well, as Tammy stated.
Scott's idea. What about draft tubes for that idea? I mean, there is an area that you would want to exclude them.
Well, AWS, too.
Yeah.
That's the next issue.
I mean, so there's not, I mean, to discount your idea, but there could be value. And if you could figure out a means to exclude.
Mm-hmm. Well, we could talk about that in another meeting.
You can start a group, sorry.
Because I've got a lot of ground to cover, Mr. Wertheimer.
Somewhere it'd be nice to get that into the... In the mix, somewhere to consider.
Snake
River. Actually, do it down there.
Let's go to 3.3. Ben, you want to cover that one?
What are we, 3.3?
Yeah, Powerhouse 2 collection channel.
So we've gone through and done the South Monolith, the North Monolith, and the AWS channel at this point. To do fish salvage because of the blown off grading. Fairly low fish numbers, really. The AWS had about 8 sturgeon. I think we got 4 yesterday out of the North Monolith. Everything was in pretty good shape except the drains in the AWS are sturgeon killers. They make the grizzlies look tame. But you know, it's supposed to be a fish free area, so it's normally not an issue. Everything looked pretty good, really. Right now, the only thing left to do is to get into the center section to diffuser pools, replace that grating, button it down, which we'll do next week, and then we should be good to go as far as the collection channel and everything of Powerhouse 2 goes. So quite an effort, though.
What was that failure caused by? What happened?
What was that?
What caused the problem?
The grating didn't blow enough?
Yeah. What failed? What?
The clips.
Are they clipped on? Or are they bolted on? Are they strapped on?
I haven't seen this one up close. That actually, we saw it in an ROV inspection right before I went on vacation a few weeks ago, and I started down this road as far as getting in and dewatering and salvaging fish while I was gone. We're just now finishing it up, so. I'll know more next week and we can get in there and see what component on the grating failed. I'm not real sure if it was debris that blew it off or if we actually had like a clip or something just rot off. They haven't been replaced in a long time.
Those are the original grates from the original construction of the dam, and they were never replaced when they went through and replaced all the other grates when we had the issue. So these are really old fasteners and old grates.
I just wonder what the what you're doing to guarantee, if possible, that that doesn't happen again. Like the Dells, where we put those straps, we strapped them all down. Got away from the clips that are holding, you know, the U clips. They got where they went away from those and put actual plate steel strapping up each side.
I believe.
And that's pretty solid. I mean, there's nothing going to blow those off.
Then they're going to use the same same fasteners that they've used everywhere else, right? They're not front end anything special. Wherever we have grates in the ladder. Yeah, at Bonneville. When we talked to structural crew a couple weeks ago, they felt that these had just rotted out because they had never been replaced.
So Bonneville's all clips, not straps?
I couldn't tell you which way it goes.
I think it's all clips. That's why I'm asking, and I'm wondering why we haven't talked about going to straps there, since this is the second time that we've had, you know, diffuser grates blow out. And it creates a huge mess every time that this happens. And I wonder what the condition is of all the other. I mean, we shouldn't let these straps, these clips, go until they blow, which is what seems to be happening. So proactively, we ought to get in there and replace all of them, all the way up and down, however we can, take divers or whatever to do it. Or they should be put in a way that should keep them on forever, like the Dells, which I don't know, it's not forever, but it's certainly longer than clips will last. What is that, Miro? That's like quarter-inch steel, isn't it?
Yeah, but I mean, the clips have lasted almost 40 years.
Well, then let's make sure that they're all replaced. But what's happening is they're blowing off.
I agree, but the clip itself...
If you're going to let them sit for 40, 50 years, then let's do it in a way that'll last 40, 50 years.
But I mean, the clips are proven technology to make you 40 years. It's worth the useful end
of their
life.
I mean, this is probably 10 years ago that the other ones blew off, so it isn't. This has been starting
to happen. But these weren't replaced at that time, so these are the original ones that were
I know. Those were original, too. I mean, they're all
those
original.
Those ones
they're
were due to debris, the sediment pushing up on them, wasn't it?
I don't think so.
Because the AWS was full of sediment.
It
was
but it's sediment. It's not debris. It's just corbicula, clamshells, and silt. That's not going to cause a problem. That will not blow off.
So when we replace or repair this diffuser screen, are we using clips or straps?
We don't
know. I can find
out. Sounds like clips, but my concern is that may not be. I mean, that's what was at the Dalles, too. They failed. The Dalles project decided to do away with that system and go to a strap system that would not fail. You know, we killed a lot of salmon in that situation. We could kill a lot of salmon at Bonneville, too. We've been lucky twice now.
So, Ben, are you familiar with the strap system?
No, I'm not.
Well, maybe you can get with, is it Bob or Miro?
Yeah, Cordy.
And see...
It's a pretty simple thing. It's
see if we can maybe...
The bolts holding it.
It's
wide, pretty like 6 inches at least.
Brick shithouse, really. I mean, you've got a big, heavy bolt holding down a big, heavy strap that goes the whole length of the diffuser, and I mean that. Even if you blew a bolt or two, it's still going to hold.
And it's holding. It's also covering the gap next to the walls of the
galvanized.
In addition to the middle segment.
Probably. I don't know if it's galvanized.
It's functioning because who would be the gaps between the segments, but they're not always the same.
So maybe is there a point of contact at the Dalles that put those together and? Besides the fish guys, like, actually built them?
The structural crew.
Okay.
The
people can talk to.
Ben, get with them and...
That's the best system I've ever seen.
See if he can...
Hey, Ben.
Yeah?
Did Andy get the grates from the Dells for the replacement?
I don't know where he got them from.
You might check, because I know he was going to... Well, he did go up there to look, so he might have talked to those structural crew guys up there, and maybe he knows who to talk to about the fasteners.
Yeah, I can. It's easy enough to find out. I don't really see it being that difficult, actually.
All right. There's two things here. One is either you could change it, do it a different way, which is more secure, or less preferable would be to go in and make sure that every one of these fasteners has been checked and replaced.
And get them on a cycle. To
if you don't know when they've been last replaced, then replace them. But we don't want to have this happen again.
Put them on a 30-year replacement cycle.
30-year instead of a 50-year.
Yeah.
All right. We'll look into that. 3.4 Bonneville Nav Lock Overhaul scheduled to start on the 7th of March. And it'll go until the 22nd of March, if it goes on schedule. It's an FYI. The corner collector maintenance. We sent out a notice that we're delaying repairs until after spill because of the late start they would have gotten. Want to have them repaired correctly. Not take a chance there. Have any kind of more blowouts. 3.6 Spill Bay 15 hoist is the broken hoist is over the bay 17. Gearbox has not been repaired. There's no funding in place for that. Apparently, it takes 32 weeks to get a gearbox.
Yeah.
Wrong business.
Yeah.
So you're gonna dog it open? How much?
That's something we need to determine. Spill bay 17 spill pattern.
They're all about the same. 17. I mean, no, that's going to be a little higher than the others.
I'll say three or four stops, but yeah, it's more than that.
So it's about that, though.
So can we get a group to together to determine where that's going to be?
We've done this before.
We did it last year. This is going to be our Bonneville.
Who's your Bonneville guy?
Bonneville guy now.
Oh, with Dennis gone?
Yeah.
Probably you.
You're looking at him.
If we find a replacement, right? I don't know. If we got no one else.
He's out for
120.
120 days.
So.
I might make him still be out.
Do you have any say?
It would be helpful. I mean,
you're both chiefs now.
So maybe.
Dang, I was so close. Three and a half.
Three and a half.
Three and a half at 100. Stay that way till you get up to spill.
So would it be best to put something together and put it through FPOM?
Yeah. Big change.
Have maybe
go 3.5.
Dennis do that. Vital spill pattern for 3.6 broken hoist. Got a dog
another broken hoist. So it goes 3.5 to 115, and then it's 4 until 140.
Come up with a spill pattern.
So you get half a stop off, and then up to 140.
They won't have a problem. The pattern will be fine with that. So yeah. you could dog off.
Dog it off at 3.5.
That's fine.
Unless we decide right now.
Sure.
But you can't do stops.
You don't trust stops.
You gotta dog it.
Well, then you better change your fish back flanks. It says stops.
You can't do 17 on stops. You're gonna have to dog it.
Well, we calculate what 3.5 stops is in dogs, and that's where you put it.
No, what you do is you calculate how many dogs you can get to be close to 3.5. And I think it's two dogs is 2.9 feet.
It says stops.
It changes. So that's the first dog is different.
Right. So I think two dogs is somewhere around.
Do you have a table that converts dogs to stops?
It says 3.5 stops. What's the difference? I don't know what stops is versus dogs. Dogs.
What's the pattern say? We'll figure it out.
That's what I'm saying.
They were just looking at it.
3.5.
But what's the unit?
It's feet.
Is it feet or is it dogs?
Speed, but we
don't
use dogs in the pattern anymore.
Yeah. One is if it's on a hoist, you can go whatever feet, but if you're going to dog the thing off,
we have to
it's
dog
your dog.
But is, the, is there your desire to dog it off where it should be for 100 cases of West Patterson?
Yeah.
We'll figure that out.
We'll figure it out.
Get it close to what 3.5 with 3.5 works for that. And you're done.
Got that?
Setter.
Mm-hmm. It's going to come from TME, Langsley, or Schwartzy.
Didn't I just say that?
Dog it off for 100
cases. I thought we got rid of the dogs, but just the first couple, right?
We did.
But you can't put this in stops because we don't have a hoist for it.
We know.
Dog it. And it won't be 3.5 feet.
Figure out what 3.5 feet is, the closest dog, and put it there. Okay.
So we're going to dog it off for 100.
Yeah, for 100K.
100K.
Are you Irish? I see what you're saying.
Closest above or below.
Just getting the juices flowing.
I was
waiting
for that new gate for this one. Good
job. Above, obviously.
Dog it up.
Right. Anything less.
Yeah.
Thanks for asking.
All right, tie crane repairs. Can I skip that one?
Can we get to skip your meeting?
Yeah. All right. I don't know how to tell you this, but we'll just get straight to it. So earlier this month, about February 5th, I got the call saying the contractor for the tie crane had the part of the part that I guess is called the tail that goes onto the crane assembled and sent the mill specs to the technical lead, and he was just like, red flag went up, and they went out and inspected it, and they had the wrong material, meaning it was not the material in the contract spec based on the availability of materials at the time the contract went out. So what are the issues? Apparently it was a round pipe that they slow rolled into a square pipe. And the spec asked for a flat, bent and welded. It was not the thickness of the spec pipe. And so they're like, timeout, stop. So what's going on now is they have gotten to the point where the designer, which is CanLift, who designed the boom, did another market research on available product, and that steel at that spec is not available. So we're kind of in a not a good situation here. The contractor's saying, well, what we can do is we can heat cure this to bring it up to spec. So we've asked, well, our PM's asked for that spec of what the process of heat curing is, and after we evaluate that, then we can determine if we can use the cold rolled round heat cured material to get the same spec for the boom. If not, I mean, we're at the crossroads. We're either gonna fire them, and if that happens, all the money that's sitting in there can't get used after until, you know, you go through the legal process. We got to come up with extra money, get a new contractor. Regardless, I brought this to the TIE sub task group to talk about on the 6th of February, and we determined it's not a good idea to get a crane in there, grab the ties, put them in for another year of evaluation. Let's leave them where they are. They're dangerous to move around. And go ahead and conduct another year of studies with the BGS in place and get the product that we want to spec. So that's basically the update right now. PM, our project manager, is having a lot of issues with the contractor. They communicate only by formal letters, which are serial letters through contracting. It's just slow. It's very slow, and they're at the point where hopefully this cure will work and we can get a boom by June.
Boom by June. Well, yeah, are you
June to July.
How do they know that this is really going to work? I mean, is this kind of a new thing that they're trying?
No, the CanLift issues? CanLift, the designer, is... they're going to review it, and we're having it reviewed by our technical lead, Jim Calnon, and if they feel that it would meet the spec based on that. Because I asked him today if they were going to have an independent review as well, and he said, well, that's the two that we're going to have a look at, and then we'll make that decision if we need to or not. I don't know anything about heat curing and You know, what we don't want is the same boom that's sitting on the ground with holes in it right now, full of water. So that is all I can tell you right now.
So in order to clean the screens,
So the plan for cleaning the screens, you know, what's in the fish passage plan with and without the tie crane or the whirly crane is what they're calling it. We also have the 65-ton mobile crane we got last summer, which can actually pick the entire VBS out without breaking it. So that'll speed it up, but the only problem is the 65-ton crane is going to be in the Navlock dewatering for the month of March, 2 weeks in March, the 7th through the 22nd. So that's an issue. I've asked contracting if they're going to go out for liquidated damages, if they can have a rental crane on standby for that time. It's March, you know. It shouldn't be a problem for March, but when we really get the debris issues, we should have the 65-ton crane available to pick it a little faster. Still, I mean, they can swing it, but what they do is when they blast it coming out, they blast it at the water level, so it just keeps coming down. And we had this discussion about maybe holding it the last, you know, 10 feet and waiting and then swinging it, and they're just like, I just don't see how
it's going to
work. They can't swing it over the deck. They can swing it like a foot.
They can't use that energy.
Because of the size of the crane and the limitation on the deck.
So the debris is going to go back in the gate wall over there.
Right. So if it does and we get to that point, do we want to have the back screen in or the back screen out?
Right. You might as well pull it out at that point. It'll just going to keep it back.
You're just going to be spinning back and forth, back and forth.
So we pull it, flush it, and then put it back in, put them both back in.
And also, I'm assuming you run your turbine at either turn it off or put a super low load.
Well, they'd have to run it to get the debris to move out, otherwise they're just going to sit in the gate.
But I'm saying I just run it lower to not draw more fish up there.
Yeah, it's...
There's no good answer on this
one. No.
Is there a point where we just pull the screen?
If they can't keep up.
Yeah, if you can't keep up.
Yeah, it's criteria there.
I think we might dodge this bullet because of...
More
flow here, debris all came off.
I'm a lucky man.
Don't say
I'm a lucky
that.
Man.
I said the same thing about my kids not puking this year. I sat the whole weekend with puking kids. So.
Well, you know, that was...
Yeah,
I know, the stupidest thing ever.
February, they haven't puked once this year.
Well,
done.
Oh, crap.
So that's where we're at with that, and yeah. I'll just keep updating you as I know.
Okay, so no. The update to change there then is going to be
what happens
put the
with
back
the
screen in, flush the debris through the get through the unit, and drop them back in again, and hope for the best.
Which is actually in the fish passage plan. It's one of the stages we go through.
Denial.
Yeah. It's a permanence.
It's a river. So, Bern, for when there aren't enough workers up there, you and Tammy are going out to help them?
Sure. I got a harness training.
I can spray a fire hose.
I could put a harness on.
Put a 5.0.
Tell me about
that. I'm going to go out pressure. It's a pressure washer.
It's a pressure washer.
Yeah. I mean, that's the other part of the issue. Is like, basically, how we washed off, but also just to make sure we got the personnel in place, because you only have 4 days, and if you have 3 days uncovered... That was part of the reason why we had to pull the screens out last year, so we just didn't have the manpower to keep it going.
It was also not being able to keep up, period. Yeah. With manpower.
Well, manpower issue doesn't
manpower
help
available.
Right.
So, that's the question is how do you have some concept of how you're going to have manpower available? Or?
Well, that's up to the project to call them in on off hours. And he
Did
said if
operator?
It's a need, oh, what's that?
Is that the new project operator?
Is that the chief, right.
Chief of Ops? No, it's Mahar. I mean, they do have the ability to have people report in.
So they have a mechanism for it. I know last year they really didn't have a mechanism.
Well, he was gone.
He was gone.
Well, okay. Hopefully he won't be gone again.
More than likely he will be.
Okay. Just saying.
Anything
I
else?
I have a repeat of next year. I appreciate that.
We'll do our best.
I know.
You got to trust me. Besides, Schwartzy's out there. We're good.
He's great with fire.
Yeah, is he out there? I try calling him every time I call.
He's in Texas on vacation.
So he's not out there.
That's not actually
when he is out there. Is he out there?
We'll see.
Delightful.
Oh, we're only in the threes. Come on, guys.
Yeah, it's 2 o'clock.
DSM-2, Bonneville's water up schedule is for the 24th of February. Any questions? All right. BPA unit outages. It's attached to the agenda. Page 46.
Page 4.
I didn't see any more concern. You guys?
Well, the water.
There weren't any. The first one is.
Actually, it's on the back of this, isn't it?
We're not going out. Good.
No, I only put on the ones that, well, there weren't any, but I looked at the ones on that were potential problems. And the one for Libby Toyline, that's a sturgeon issue at Libby Dam, but I threw it in there just to notify if it was first on until after the sturgeon pulse.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So I guess you probably want time to review that. Have you seen anything?
No, just did.
I told you what the message like there. Should be over there.
No, we don't have a problem with it, but it probably should be in there. For a little moment.
That's what I was wondering.
What is this point of time?
It's you guys.
I don't know what they're doing. It may be new.
I noticed last Friday.
Yeah, it's newer than
that. Time is Rod. 3.
Rod. On this Libby Troy outage, that 115K line.
Right.
So continuous means absolute 100% of the time Libby's only going to do 550 megawatts.
Once the line's taken out, they're completely taking the line down and replacing it. So
okay.
Yeah, it's continuous. So they're going to start in July now, or late June or early July after the start.
So how many?
You can run 4 units instead of 5.
That was my question.
Okay.
I don't see any issues here, really.
That should be okay. It didn't look like there were any, but I was wanting to make sure I followed through and get the okay.
Yeah. The outages at Bonneville are a little bit concerning. Probably.
You got to do them sometime.
Pretty late, or early, I should say.
Next week. Next week?
Once in March.
I'm 20. I'm not worried about the February. It's the March ones and F1, F2.
I heard that those dates possibly changed.
Take 550 from the 870.
Those dates may have changed.
Coming out of hungry ones.
From the 18th to 19th to something else?
Yeah, it's an agenda item.
Later or earlier?
Oh, okay. Later.
Okay, then we'll get to it.
Okay.
All right, let's get to it. 311, installation of Walla Walla's ESPSs by 16 April. What's that all about there, Mr. Moody?
Is that McNary?
I hope that's only McNary.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
McNary. I didn't have a project associated with that.
It's McNary.
Yeah, it's McNary, McNary, so.
Yeah, you want to do all of them? You want to do all of them? Okay.
McNary.
Are we on schedule on that? Is that it?
We're looking for review funds.
You are? What?
Well, we're notifying that we are going to be doing it by the 16th of...
Right, but it's no longer earlier than the 6th.
No, earlier than the 6th, and no meetings, and they'll be starting to work on it, so they'll all be in place by the 16th.
Right, but they may not start till the 10th.
Yeah, that's right. It may not start until the 10th, but it will be done entirely by the 16th.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
And it's in the FOP, too.
Right.
Glad to hear that because I haven't seen the FOP.
No
one has.
Well, what FOP?
I've seen
it. I hope you've seen it.
I've seen some of it.
Seen parts. No comment.
No comment. Okay. 312, smolt monitoring program condition metrics. The touch screen being developed and implemented by Fish Passage Center should be up and running by Monday. I think Monday's the 23rd.
Monday's the 23rd.
23rd, according to Michelle DeHart. If the FPC feels like it's not going to work, then they're going to go back to the old system.
That's pretty much.
Is that the update?
That we got it's going pretty well. That's pretty much all I know.
Yeah.
The plan, if they do go forward with it, is outlined. I don't know if everyone got the memo that Michelle sent to pretty much all the agencies. It's
on the website, too.
Yeah, it's on the website.
There's a memo on the website.
Yeah,
saying what?
It's basically a background history of what's going on and what's going to happen.
Dates of implementation.
The issues regarding the computer slowness, Fred Metz's
that's
concerns,
been,
have those been resolved then?
Yeah, I believe so.
Well, the thing is, they haven't gotten to play with it yet.
No, the thing is,
Charlie's okay.
There you go.
I don't think so. I don't think they've gotten to play with it.
The SMP people have seen the final version yet.
So there are still questions.
There's still questions,
and according to this response from Michelle, she said that FPC staffs, if they're not confident in the program by the 23rd for implementation in Bonneville, they'll go forward with the old program.
So it
sounds like no delays in
that? Expect bugs.
That's still the plan.
We expect bugs in the new system, not the old.
Right.
Right.
The old system shouldn't be an issue.
As long as pieces aren't thrown in the garbage. And I mean, this is a fairly large changeover. And do you have the old computers sitting there by the side ready to plug right in and everything?
I don't think anything's been unplugged.
No, there's new computers.
Oh, there are?
Yeah, and it's, I mean, you can't, the programming and everything is different, so does the old, if the computers are gone and the new computers are sitting there and you load the old software on because the new software doesn't work, will the old software work? I mean, those are the kind of questions that I'd be asking.
Those are very good
questions. Or we're all, you know, we're all dead in the water and it's, you know, April 25th and we still haven't got things going. What goes into March when that starts and all that. So
those questions, do you want Dave to answer and send out to us?
Well, I think that needs to be answered. My concern is, and I think it's the same as Tim's concern, that there was really no closure to the issues. It was all of a sudden just Michelle just chopped all communication lines and said, we're done talking. And that bothers me. I mean, I'd like to have heard a final resolution to the issues. And
we'd like to see one final review,
right?
At least of the program before we actually implement it.
Well, in her memo, she states that February 25th would be the first training date. So I don't know if the SMOLT monitoring program subgroup has met or made a date. I haven't seen anything since.
Michelle canceled the last meeting, and that's been the end of it.
So we need a response.
It seemed like there ought to have been a last meeting or some closure to the issue.
The meeting was going to be about 2 weeks ago. Mm-hmm.
Right, so what's going on next week?
Dave, what do you think? Are you okay with the way things are? Because you probably had more. I've been gone for 3 weeks.
Well, I'm kind of in the same position. I think the questions you're asking about the old system, if it really is ready to be turned on, if this new one isn't ready, that's a good thing.
Yeah.
But
is it?
Is it?
That's my question. Or is it? Or could that be a problem? Because I know this is a fairly extensive change, a lot of equipment change, as well as software change, and if the old stuff isn't just sitting there ready to go.
Fish data.
I know I've worked on too many computers to know that when you throw old software onto a new computer, it used to work with that computer. It may not work with this one because it's Vista versus XP or who knows what. But,
I could ask that question. Any other questions, too? Feel free to.
Yeah, it's just, it's too bad we couldn't have had the one last, kind of a closeout.
When do you want a response
by here? Well, I mean, it should be ASAP.
Yeah,
as soon as possible. To change it.
Like, are we going to have a meeting next week and play with it? I mean,
the Corps requested a meeting, and apparently, from what I heard, that was denied, or I don't know how that could be denied.
I just got an email on that one. I don't know.
Well, I've got it right here. A response has nothing to do with a meeting, just saying that the 23rd is the
individual
is the day.
Yeah.
But Tim specifically sent an email. I mean, he was concerned. He was concerned about barge loading and the
extremely concerned on barge loading and numbers that way.
The compatibility between the way the projects, the project personnel, not the project, but the S&P folks that are out there get the data and then get it into the Corps' hands so they can determine barge loading densities and things like that. They were very concerned about that. Tim wanted another meeting.
A closeout meeting,
just to make sure that we've covered all the bases. And from what I've heard,
I don't think that's a problem. From what I've understood, talking to people, they say it's like, I think the plan is to roll out the program and then have a meeting about it. That kind of stuff. They just didn't want to have another. I think they want to get them a fairly final form to look at.
That's okay. I mean, that's Michelle's prerogative to do that. But it's not her prerogative to cancel a meeting that's a regional meeting. So.
Well, I think she canceled it was just because I don't think they're going, like, until we have a final version of you, all we're going to do is sit around and rehash the same arguments.
I'm okay with the first cancellation. She needed time to get the work done. That makes sense. I'm not okay with her saying no to Tim for a last meeting. At some point, you know, once she's got the work done, once, and I know you guys are resource limited too, so once you get through setting stuff up, then let's have.
So you'd really like to have a meeting next week.
The last, touch.
Well, of course, the question is that an important question. We'll take that back to
yeah. We requested a 24th meeting next week, and have it. I mean, her response doesn't have anything about meeting, so
she didn't respond to that.
No.
They still should do that.
I thought it was still going forward on the 24th.
No, I mean, there's no confirmation here whatsoever.
I haven't read those.
We need to get that meeting set up.
We need all the people in the room. The whole point of this was not to have he say, she say, that sort of thing. It needs to be, you know, Michelle and Fred and Charlie and Dave and myself. And people ask the questions and they answer people at the same time.
I think that's a problem. Because you guys might be thinking the meeting's still going on. I don't know. Get verification figured out. Have your people call their people and get it done.
Well, then tell Derek Fryer not to schedule the Sockeye meeting on the 24th.
He's actually this Tuesday. Actually, they're trying to
Tuesday or Wednesday.
In combination with something on McNary turbine testing and Setter. Derek Fryer called me this morning about that meeting. And wanting to have it in the afternoon and combine the McNary turbine testing that we talked about at the afternoon of the 24th.
February. Yeah, he asked us to get him a room.
Yep. So,
well, that's the same day as the supposed fish condition meeting.
Yeah, you're going to need a day for the fish condition. Yeah. I can tell you that much right now.
So, 23rd of day.
Moving out on it, we need a meeting like the 24th or the 25th. Oh, what's your schedule on the 25th? TMT is the 25th.
Okay. Well, that's if you're going to go to school. If you're not, you might have some time.
See, I have it down for the 24th.
27th is the Bonneville School meeting.
Yeah, I'm not going to be there. My calendar says that was on the 24th, so while I was gone, I got changed.
So we need to get some things squared away.
Yeah, we do.
It needs to be a bond.
Well, I had all the comments last night on it. I will come in. We need to get these all nailed down.
So you have the 24th open for small margin?
Right now, 24th, if that's not happening. So right now I have the Dallas Fitzgerald EWS meeting on that date too. I have it on three different days. So I have no idea.
It's
all
the
days.
The
one
I got
on the
24th is
kind of
on the
5th.
TBA EWS Bonneville
School. Yes, you do too.
On the 24th?
I'm not the only one.
Good. 24th.
So it sounds like the 24th we're going to take for the small monitoring program.
Well, yeah, if we've given it up all the Fitterwick meetings, which we're supposed to have.
Can we call Randy and confirm that?
Yeah.
Well, somebody better coordinate with Derek and too.
Yeah. He's got 20, because if that gets canceled, I can go somewhere else.
25th is TMT, so that's out. Fitterwick is the 26th.
Yep.
The 24th, and our understanding is 24th is going to be the Sockeye meeting in the afternoon. Derek Fryer.
Which one?
Derek Fryer is supposed to be 24th
right.
Afternoon.
What is the McNary meeting?
Was that morning? No. Because
what
of
about
FPAC,
Monday?
Because he called me about 11 o'clock this morning. Because of FPAC being in the morning, he wanted to hold the sockeye meeting
in the afternoon,
and combine the McNary turbine
at the same time.
At the same time.
Ah,
for
okay.
a full 4 hours.
What day is this?
The
24th.
Tuesday
hour.
Afternoon.
24th. Where's
that? So you guys have FPAC in the morning.
What about if we move FPAC to Monday so that...
Is that an FPAC meeting or is that just a call?
That's just a call.
It's not the third, so... Third so Tuesday. It's not the third Tuesday, so it's got to be just...
Yeah, we already had our meeting. This month.
Well... People who are coordinating meetings need to coordinate the meetings with everybody. So we can't do it here because they're not here.
Well, it sounds like find out if we're still going to have the Bonneville Spillway meeting on the 27th. If we're not, that might be your open day for your.
Why would that not happen?
I'm going to do that right now.
Because Mike's going to check to see. He wasn't sure if it was going to happen. Because that might open up. Sure that might open that Friday.
27th, but no, that you guys have a couple of days.
Where's this Bonneville Spillway meeting at?
I think it's the Summit
Room. Room 3H, I believe.
So that just gives, I mean, the 24th's off the board now for smolt monitoring. It's only going to be the afternoon, Friday afternoon, 27th. Is that what I'm hearing?
For smolt monitoring?
Yeah. To go over this touch screen and computer program.
Unless you want to try to, because you probably can't do it Monday. But you don't
No, that's the decision date.
I mean, we could bump FPAC back on Monday afternoon, and that gives you Tuesday morning.
Well, let's see, there's a Bonneville site visit on the 23rd.
For Lamprey, that's right. That's what they're looking
for. So that's going to take us out there.
So is that all that Fairway gets invited to that? I know the tribes are going to that.
Yep.
I don't know if everyone's
there. And by the way, just an Accord tribe site visit.
Yeah, because I've been invited. So.
Okay. It's kind of a Lamprey group
Lamprey
meeting.
Lamprey group, because yeah. One other thing about that meeting, and I need to get Tammy or call me or Philip on the project, is the tribes want to meet and discuss their comments on the Lamprey plan immediately after the site visit.
Oh, sure. Oh, really?
No. Okay. So, and then just to warn you that our PAO office made that a press day for sea lions, and they're going to want to take the press, some of them over to take pictures of
them.
It's the 24th.
Okay. Right. That's the
24th.
It's been
24.
The popular date.
It's the
24th
now?
Everybody
wants
the 24th.
It's the
24th.
Did I get that Thursday?
A walkthrough day.
Paul Clarkson.
24th.
I think that's the press thing, but for the week. Lamprey thing is still on Monday.
Right.
Right.
Cascade Island and Lamprey on Monday.
They're going to bring press out to the Lamprey thing. Diana.
Talk
to me about it.
Okay, so
both.
So I guess, do we need a full day for the smolt monitoring?
No, and I'm trying to think if that could be a call.
The 24th in the afternoon?
Well, that's
sockeye. Sockeye is the afternoon, okay. So mm-hmm. It'd be the 24th morning or the 27th afternoon?
Mm-hmm.
It might be a call from Tim.
I see, where is he?
No, yeah, well, I don't know.
If he's not going to get down here.
He's not going to get down there.
Well, let's try to get the 24th in the morning, it sounds like. Is there a slot that's open right now? If we can have, and that's good because it should be before the season starts and before.
Yeah.
25th, she has in here for Bonneville training, if this goes through.
Okay, but I don't know, is that the first site?
Yeah. So.
Damn, it'd be good to have. A little training done, some work done before.
Why don't you do on the 27th then?
What do you got on the 27th?
Spillway.
Flex day?
I knew it was all coming together.
I just talked to Thomas on the 24th. He's on
5th of March.
My calendar is right.
So what's on the 27th?
On the spillway.
It's about a spillway meeting. Yeah.
Yes.
Which I got conflicts with that.
Okay. How does Saturday look?
Well, why can't we shoot for that metrics meeting for the 24th morning? Let's just slot it and then...
Slot it and we'll jock it around FPAC.
FPAC, yeah, and see where they're at. And if you can... The sooner you find out from Michelle where we're at with that, the better.
Yeah, maybe
call her right now if you want. I mean,
yeah, I want.
I would love to call her.
I've heard that that's actually fairly good.
No, I wouldn't.
It's what she's going to call you after you call her.
Whatever, call her.
Somebody from the core contractor.
Well, we already did.
As,
okay.
As well, it melts
into the. So you want to know if the old system is going to be ready to put in?
I don't.
What's our contingency plans if the new system?
But the real thing is,
if we got a meeting on Tuesday,
can we meet morning? Tuesday morning?
The real issue is a closeout to the whole process that we went through. We were going to have another meeting. She canceled it. Tim would like to have a closeout. I think Dave and I know I would, just to answer the outstanding questions.
Closeout.
Yeah, he actually recommended right here. February 24th.
27th is the day for Bonneville Spillway.
Well, good.
Cool.
9 a.m. 24th.
9 noon?
Yep. 27th is the day we back, and so we're happy if folks can't make that to sit down afterwards and go over comments, but that's the day we have with the contractor set. Bonneville Spillway out there.
Okay, the 24th. Kind of worked those out.
Okay. Well, I said I confirmed the date.
What time?
9 a.m. Room 3H.
You got that, dude? 9 a.m. 3H?
I got that. Okay.
Sorry.
Yes.
Confusion on that.
Well, I'll switch. I'll see if I can switch my date. So, it means I have a good reason.
There he goes.
Took my all annual leave. I took yesterday. I took
Alright, so can we move on? We're burning daylight here. Burning daylight.
This is a forest fire, man.
Granite ESPS installation delay. Greg Moody.
North Granite is going to be doing a course lock outage from the month of March up until about the 21st. And the only crane we got available was the same one they would be using for the lockage outage. However, they'd be able to install a number of those ESPSs in the priority units by the 24th. Because lock outage ends on the 21st. There's not going to be a full set of ESBSs in place. We intend on having them fully installed by the 30th of March, which would be 3 days later. No, a few days later.
Six.
And we'll have it ready by then. That should give us enough time to start any SMP fish matrix counting, collecting fish or whatnot for sampling, whatnot by... Any transportation times we start in the first part of April. But we're just looking at a little delay of installation of the ESPS, that's all.
Yeah.
Well, you'll get the first.
Here's our toolbox then.
It's glowing a little bit.
Was that?
As I understand, you get the first one, two, and three.
We will get the priority units in place.
Yeah.
And then by then,
yeah,
you know, we're only using maybe about three units of water.
Yeah.
You know, by then, so we're above 3 units.
Do we have any lamprey passing there?
Yeah, probably.
So why haven't we considered leaving them out until the April deadline or the
June
election? Yeah, we're doing a big hearing.
Is it April you get it? I thought you got it in May when you get ice fresh.
I think we're getting a real big slug of lamprey.
That's gonna be the last
right
good year for a while.
After some good flows.
We made a compromise of McNary to delay for part of this overlap with this multiple operation.
Yeah,
so we want to consider that mistake as well for
one. I don't know.
Spill starts the 3rd.
Spill starts on the 3rd. Granted. floor of installation.
I know we are, but I mean, we had this conversation at McNary, how important the year was.
We were going to try to get some data, Scott, see when the Lamprey come to Granite.
Okay. Are we selling? Is someone still doing it?
Yeah.
So that'd be in the future then.
Yeah,
screens.
The future.
We're just looking at.
I got it. For now, just get ready to go ahead with getting them in for juvenile salmon. But for the future, we got to keep that on the plate. That's a possibility.
That's true.
I just heard that you guys were really saying this was the last big year, so.
The library for a while.
Right. So why not consider it now?
We would not be opposed. We think it's not a bad idea.
So, I guess just from what I've heard is that maybe the Lamprey aren't a Granite that early yet.
Okay. Is someone actually looking at the data right now?
I thought the district was going to look at that.
Or is it just McNary? I don't know.
So the issue here is, all right, on the table was the installation of the ESPSs. Is there any problem with putting them in prior units by the 24th and the rest by the 30th for starters?
When are they?
And you're good with that.
When are they officially supposed to be in April 1st?
By the 24th.
So the other question that Scott's brought up is, do we want to keep them out for Lamprey juvenile passage?
We're not ready to make that decision yet. So I think we plan it to go in for fish, salmon, the other fish.
We're
not ready to change that yet.
Right.
Okay. So we'll put them in by the 24th, completed by the 30th. Sure. Priority units, three priority units by the 24th.
That's right.
Okay.
Is there a reason why it's the 24th?
No, well, I guess that's what it's been in, always in the Fish Passage Plan, the last Friday of the month. But then,
so it's in there before spill.
Yeah, it's in there before spill.
Okay.
And so we're just following what it shows in FPP. But I guess the calendar time and rough outage are big wound up every tight for a coupon. We're just going to be on
so the 24th is a Tuesday.
Okay.
27th is Friday.
That's what it is.
So the 27th is a day.
Yeah. Well, the 26th is Thursday.
When they don't work.
Yeah, they don't work Fridays.
They do work Monday, which is the 31st.
Officially, they're not have to be in. We just have picked a date that's based on when the crews work.
Well,
okay.
I mean, that should be the last, have them in by the last
be in by the
Thursday
first.
Of the month.
Yeah, they have to be in by the first as your official.
The other projects, the other Lower Snake River project, they will be in by the first.
Right. But yours also.
But Granite's been just a little bit earlier.
But it sounds like it's only because you were looking ahead and being proactive and having a date that's based around the work time.
Indeed.
And not that it's the official fish date is the first. It happens to be sooner because of the work provision.
I don't know the history about that one, but I would think it's because it's the first one and the snake, it's the earlier
and
fish.
The collective knowledge. I mean, we try to set things for what the fish date is and then work around it. And so what we're asking right now is this is going to be late. Well, really, it isn't going to be late. It's just going to be because of the crew is making a difference. The official fish constraint is the first.
That's true.
Except
first
for Granite.
The official.
But we need a Granite.
Granite, it's a week earlier. It's the Friday earlier.
Okay, so that's our official fish.
Yeah.
Season.
Yeah. So that
for Granite. And that's what I'm saying. Okay. Yeah, there's not going to be in.
Okay.
By that day, they'll all be in by the 20s, by the 30s.
All right, I'd like to move on.
So would I.
LOMO, BPA transmission power outage.
You want to get the first,
Oh, hold on a minute. Update by Michelle DeHart.
Okay.
You might want to listen to this one.
Contingency plan, she said it was in this memo. And any questions?
she wants in writing.
What is it? Sorry, I can't hear.
Any questions?
She said it's in the memo, and that's the way it's going to be.
Well, the question was.
Let's run a court.
Oh, I know, but it's not. That question is not in the memo.
The answer is not in the memo.
Calling on the speakerphone.
Is it?
Just bring her into the meeting.
Yeah. Okay. Well,
good luck.
She wants it in writing.
She wants questions in writing.
Well, we asked in writing to her a date of the 24th in Tim's
email.
The email he specifically asked.
What did she say about the meeting?
She didn't say anything. She said the 23rd.
Shocking. She said that she invited Tim to come over and drop by to see this the program anytime he wishes, and I said goes for anybody.
I don't think that's how it happened.
So we'll come over on the 24th in the morning.
Coffee and donuts.
So I guess that's the solution right now. Is 24th we're coming to the Fish Passage Center to check out the program. And any questions in writing?
So the meeting's on the 24th at the Fish Passage Center.
Sounds good.
Yeah.
Sweet. Done and done.
Doors always open. Right now,
done and done.
And any questions in writing?
So,
on official letterhead?
That's the can-do attitude.
I hope you do it. Just ask him what he wants to.
Okay, so now let's go to Lomo BPA transmission and power outage.
Transmission power outage, Lord Monumental. Actually, they were requesting to have it done today and tomorrow.
So they're actually doing it.
Well,
that was easy.
There's nothing for us to really approve.
Move on.
Do you have a problem with them doing a spin no load at 5,000?
Yes, that's what it is. That's spin no load.
This time of year.
Does that have to even go through FPOM? That's not an FPOM. At this time of the year, is it?
Not a concern. We're fine.
I just want to make sure it's not a concern.
It's a new thing, so I'm sorry I didn't have it on the list. But it's
okay.
I just want to bring it through FPOM, just be on the safe side. So everybody knows.
All right. You're
being transparent after
Ice Harbor, John Day, Lamprey,
Mortality,
and Turbine Cooling Water Strainer.
So you found out that Lamprey's juvenile zoomax damage.
Now who can kind of explain where this these intakes,
I have no clue.
This intake is for the cooling water, and where the strainer is, and
how it does bear
like the elevation. And, just the
elevation.
Why Lamprey are being attracted there?
There are two at Ice Harbor. There are two strainer entrances. One is on the is in the draft, not the draft tube, but the intake channel coming in, right at piers number.
Randy said it.
No, there's two of them there. Piers number five and piers number two. Piers number two services units 1, 2, 3. Pier number five services the other three units.
So it's in the draft tube.
It's not the draft tube. It's the intake from the floor bay. That's one entrance.
Behind the screen, behind the screen.
And the strainer is a 10-inch tube from the floor bay into a collection, let's say, into a manifold for right now.
Hey, all right, hold on, you guys. Sidebars. Zip them. You guys can't hear what's going on. We're going to stop the meeting now until you guys wrap it up or take
your time to resolve the ones that are, you guys are going on beyond before we have a chance to resolve them.
It goes into a manifold, let's say, for right now.
And we're talking about juvenile
second
death.
Entrance.
Of lampreys.
Scroll cage.
No one doesn't care about lampreys.
There's a 10-inch opening in the scroll cage. With a strainer on it.
Give you some
kidney. These ones got strainers on it. They go both into this manifold.
I'm getting
from the manifold, they go to, let's say, a strainer. The strainer at Ice Harbor is a dual strainer, not a singular strainer. But it is basically like an oil filter, lack of other terms, the old-fashioned type. You have a little wire basket where it goes through and, you know, it filters it out. And there's to filter out the water that cools off not only the thrust bearing in the generator, but the oil coolant, too. So then it goes up to the oil coolant and the top of the generator to cool off, and then it routes back down to that little spigot you see in front of the dams. I don't know if the same way it is in the Lower Columbia dams, but there's also a little opening there in the front of the dams. And you can see the water come out. That's the cooling water. There's another exit too for the just for the oil cooler, and it goes straight down into the draft tube. So you don't see that one come out at all. But that's the location of both of these strainers.
What's the intake? The location of the intake again?
The location of the intake is one is at, well, a nice harbor. It's at 355 foot elevation in the forebay, right in the intake channel, where the turbine units.
So that's located before or after where the screen, the barrier screen, the
No, there's screens. No barrier. There's this is basically the face of the dam or the backside of the dam.
So there's nothing to prevent fish from getting
a strainer, and that's about it. It's a 10-inch tube with a strainer on it.
What size mesh are you talking about?
Good question. We're looking into that.
Then they have access to that because that's how they want to clean it off, and that's how they found the 400.
But that perforated plate on the forebay and also the inside the scroll case is really not, you know, really that serviceable, easy to service. It's the strainer units itself, I should say strainer filters itself inside, which are right next to the...
So these are just water filters,
right?
Basically.
Basically a water filter out to keep a nice clean, you know, cleaner water.
Right. Yeah. So they're accessible somewhere near the turbine or something.
Yeah. There is a hydrostatic measurement of head on the strainers. And that when it gets too high,
you clean them.
It's a simple process. That's what it needs.
But the strainer itself that make that filter is not on the base of the dam.
No.
It's in the system. It's on the base of the dam when the water enters the concrete. Is there like a grate?
Maybe it's a grating.
That's what I'm trying to get to.
Yeah, that's about it.
The grating is located upstream of the screen.
Indeed.
Okay.
So that's a potential place or in the scroll case.
As far as, now I'm not to interrupt you, but as far as the John Day situation goes, there's a fundamental difference about this case. That we're not talking the turbine coolers, what we found.
What
we're talking about is a completely different thing. So the turbine cooler, we used to have one situation I was going to ask you. How did you detect those lamprey in there?
For a number of years, the project biologist has been asking, hey, what are these things for all the time? Then finally, when the operator did his rounds, which are on a daily basis, they do their rounds, and you notice the change in head, you know, they pulled them in. You know, they say, hey, okay, we got to do some cleaning here. Well, somebody on the crew must have said, hey, you're going to send down the biologist here and take a look at this. We've got a lot of lamprey in here. So that's when it first came out, and that was the first of this month.
Yeah. That's the first time this
first
has ever
time it's happened where a biologist is actually involved with inspection of the strainers.
So they could have been getting these lamprey for years.
I recall one incident at the Dalles, which the strainer got plugged up with juvenile shaft. It was a very weird year. The shaft got in the system longer. So what I'm stipulating here, those strainers are not frequently open or inspected.
Right.
Only if they plugged up, usually or very infrequently every like maybe 5 years that they even look at them. So unless you see a plugging.
As I said, there's a flow meter that gives you a differential in pressure on the scroll case coming in or wherever your level is. If it's in that window, it's fine. If it's outside of that range, that's the time to call in me.
So what's your fix on this?
What's our fix?
Is there a fix?
I got one more question before you get to the fixes. So it's hard to imagine why the lamprey would find that small amount of water as opposed to going into the turbine intake where there's a huge amount of water and fairly high velocity.
What's the
forebay
level?
The top of the dam is 455 foot.
The forebay elevation is generally.
So it's about that level. It's going to be a little bit lower than that.
So how deep is this thing? The opening.
The opening is at 355.
I forgot the
core big
levels. I forgot. I do think
what's
the
main
thing? I can't remember.
We'll have to get back into that. So, you might have it, Dave.
I don't
which is the Four Bay Basin.
So they're down at least 90.
Which project? But they're not screened, are they?
Ice Harbor.
Ice Harbor is about 92 foot, to tell you the truth.
So this is a difference. That's all
the head of the generator heads about 92 foot.
Well, this is down near
430.
Bob's
asking questions.
437, 438 is Moth.
Right. So it's 3 foot range. So it's 37 to 40.
Yeah.
Really deep.
Really deep.
Well, which makes sense because juvenile lamprey pass deep.
That's deep.
That's not a surprise.
Where was the elevation?
Deep. It's deep. So, I mean, it's probably a percentage of the big old ball of lamprey going through.
I guess so.
Now, it's interesting in Mark Plummer's, he does all the fish collection there and inspection, and he says he's seen very few lamprey in his samples through the years. I mean, you've seen them, but you know.
In his sample, but not talking about this strainer.
We don't know. So that's the thing. So you know, it's all it's the big question now. It's coming on.
Don't forget, you also Ice Harbor's got standardly screened, so you would not expect. And if lamprey do pass deep, you're probably not going to catch a lot of lamprey in your sample. They're all going probably deep. So, and if you've got a 10-inch hole there down at the bottom, and you got a lot of lamprey going through there, you're probably going to catch some on it. Now the question is there any way to put a
screen,
like a mesh or something like that?
Well, John Day, they're suggesting their quick fix is to screen the intake pipe by going through slot 13C with a man basket if it was dewatered.
Right. And John Day, the way that we figured so far where the intake is, it's in a gateway. So it's even more strange. The circumstances of this occurrence here are somewhat different equipment, but this equipment has been out of service where we found those lamprey for 6 months. So we don't really know if that would be happening during the normal operations. We only got two of those strainers, two of those coolers of this type, where we found the lamprey. So most likely it's not a big problem, but I think we're going to be probably aiming at putting the screen into the lamprey.
Is that a good idea?
The lamprey's grab on that grate because it's a polished surface.
Pardon me?
Yeah, it's covered with lamprey.
What was the question?
Never mind, I was thinking polished surface, they might grab onto that.
And this just happened last Thursday that we found. I don't have much information.
If you grate the entrance to that, won't that cause debris build up there? Because you're going to be pulling flow in, cooling flow, instead of it building up in your filter, which is the idea. It's going to build up on that grate on the outside. Then you're going to have a overheating problem.
Yeah,
that'll be the end of that issue.
That was just kind of a brainstorming idea.
I think that you're going to defeat the whole purpose of having the filter where it is.
Unless you can pull it.
The question also was,
if you can access it and clean it on a regular basis and have a way to monitor it, then it makes sense. Otherwise, nice idea, but in practicality, it won't work.
And that's we even see that with the intake there at Granite for the water, for the fish trap there at the face of the dam. We got it. It is on the face of the dam, but that thing's got to be cleaned all the time.
Yeah, you're going to have debris on it. Mm-hmm.
How much flow are you pulling in on those things?
10-inch pipe.
10-inch diameter pipe.
10-inch diameter pipe, and it's probably under
80 foot ahead.
At least 80 foot ahead, you know, like that.
Yeah, but this is where the other end is coming out.
Yeah,
exactly. The other end's coming out about, 10 feet above the...
I don't know if it's...
Well, is there a pump on it?
There's really any pumpage to that thing. It's
probably gravity.
Yeah, but I mean, you need a differential. It's not 80 foot ahead on there. We can cut concrete with that.
Yeah.
Well,
it's just
what. But I mean, if it's a couple 3 CFS, you might be able to put a off-the-shelf torpedo type screen with a rear back flush system on it. Well, I mean, a 10-inch pipe.
That'd do, and then you just automate it.
Run an airline down to it. And
you're done.
Self-cleaning. Yeah. Not self-cleaning, but
you do need to clean it somehow. You're not going to be able to.
I mean, you have the option to clean it.
I mean, that's all at the shelf type stuff, too. Mm-hmm. That's the beauty of that.
Yeah. Well, that's worth looking into. So let's look into it.
That's the way to do it.
Torpedo screen with an airburst. All right.
Done.
So the next... dewatering. Hey, Larry. Larry. Okay, we're going to move on to 7, McNary dewatering screen monitoring.
So can we have that monitor too at Ice Harbor?
What's that?
A little more? Or is it monitored once a day?
It's inspected under the operator's rounds routinely. It's got to be at least once a day, least, or once a shift.
I should hope.
I mean, they got to do that. I mean, the operators are going to walk through the plant all the time. They got set points.
Yep. So again, I guess the only question I don't have answered is, this is the first time you said a biologist has been down there to look at it because of circumstance or?
Of circumstance,
so this could
awareness,
have been
plant awareness, crew awareness.
So is the crew down there aware that if they get these things, they need to record them all the time?
Well, okay, you guys aren't going to spend money without due cause. It's 400 amp, and probably not going to be due cause. You're going to need to know that this is something that occurs on a regular basis. So
right.
As the operators go through, they need to mark down how many lamprey are caught in this thing on a shift-wise or daily basis.
An email went out from the project, right from the O&M manager. It says, any time the strainers are going to be replaced, bring in the biologist. So they will know.
Okay. But that's, you're going to develop a track record here to see if this is an issue that develops.
Right.
The biologist will be there at that time.
Track record.
If there's enough, but then you're going to go after the Ted's idea of a screen system. Or do it anyway. But I just know the way you guys, I mean, yeah, we say that here, but then somebody's going to say, well, wait a minute, that's how much? $2,000?
Yeah.
Probably. So. $2,000 and a lot of man hours, and then it's going to say, well, this is a one-time thing. I can hear that coming back. We're not going to do it until we know it's something that's, you know, regular. So we need to have a regular inspection to make sure that it doesn't just disappear.
So the next 400 dead cubic lamprey on it might be enough to kick it down.
It's not something I don't think that they would crack open once a week.
How it works.
Yeah,
just
when your
head's
wrong.
That's when
the head's wrong.
When the
so they don't check it on a regular basis, only when it's packed full.
Gosh,
why did the flow being cut off?
Oh. Well, we got to check this. You know, like I said, there's a flow meter on, a gauge on it.
Okay, but wait. How hard is it to check? Let's get this resolved. How hard is this to check to see what's on the screen? Can they, for the next few weeks, which we'll have lamprey out there, check it on a daily basis? Is it something you just unscrew and look, or does this take a crew?
It's number of bolts on the top, from what I saw on the picture. I don't have a very good picture of it, but it's accessible. Man is accessible to it.
Bolts on the top tell me it's not an operator accessible thing.
No, it's not an operator to it. It's a crew, mechanical crew accessible.
Okay, so much for that idea.
The operator just knows that if there's a head.
That's not good. Yeah, that's not good enough. But I don't want to know, because 400 might cause a head loss, but 35 every day, which is a problem, would not.
Well,
we'll never see it.
Right?
Well, of course they will dissolve.
Well, until they dissolve.
Until they turn into mush and get past.
They may, it's probably a density thing. It depends on the rate of dissolving versus the rate of
accumulation.
I often think they change this. They
don't until they get
until we get to that level.
So is this the first time in years, or is
this is probably the first time in a long time? And I've asked that question also, and they don't have
the mesh of the screen so that they pass through that screener.
There you go.
They get cooked in the thrust bearing chimney cooler.
It's just lubrication.
Okay,
I'm back to Ed's idea. Put
there you go. I knew if we waited long enough, we could come back to just solving the problem.
Screen on the
we can look into it.
I'm looking for more of the smoking jam than we have, but
you're not going to get it.
Doesn't sound like it.
Who does the inspections out there?
The operators do the inspection.
I mean, they just do it when there's a head differential.
Yeah.
That's it.
So unless you see a head differential problem, then you hope to God you don't have it.
So 400 is a head differential problem, and 388 is probably not. Yeah.
So it's probably really stared at big time when the water's very turbid.
Yeah, which isn't now. So there's something else. That
Leopard.
What do we have?
Leopard.
Okay. Can I move on now?
You can move on.
Please.
Yeah, let's look into that. Bring it back. If the project will put the torpedo D-bags on, they're good. If they won't, then...
Do you have a spec or something like that you could send to the course?
That's my
Yeah. Larry's got websites. Sweet. It's off the shelf technology.
I just love it.
Yeah.
Super duper amazing.
It all depends on how much flow those things.
All right. I'm now moving on. There.
Lucky number seven.
Number seven.
McNary Juvenile Collection Channel has two large screens. One's on the wall, one's on the floor. The McNary Juvenile Dewatering Screens are the last two screens on the system, as far as I know, that do not have sensors for measuring the differential head loss from the upstream side of the screen to the downstream side of the screen. I look at it as, and I think a number of you do, look at that system as sort of a vital safety deal. I mean, you would no sooner not have lube oil pressure gauges on your turbines than having lack of head loss on your screens because if they blew out, you know, you'd be looking at shutting the plant down and stuff. So they're a reasonably vital piece of equipment. For some reason, they've never been installed on the Canary. I sort of volunteered to look at what would be needed to put the sensors at McNary. I went through the drawings and I found relatively readily accessible places where people could get to install the pressure sensors on both the wall screen and the floor screen. It would take an outage, obviously, maybe during the wintertime when both screens are dry or dewatered, but the actual construction involved in the collection channel would be very minor. The only complicated thing that could be the case would be somehow getting the leads, the signal wires, down to the control room. I don't know what the route is. Maybe they already have conduit there that goes down there, or maybe we have to drill some more holes, I don't know. Whatever. I didn't figure out the telemetry part as far as where the signal goes. Should it go to the biologist shack down at the juvenile? Should it go to the control room or both? Or whatever. What do we want to do with the signal? In the normal screen...
Brad's cell phone.
I'm sorry?
Brad's cell phone.
Pager. Well, that needs to be figured out. What we do on some of our irrigation screens is we actually, when the delta head gets too big, we turn on the brush and they start cleaning full time, and if the head goes down, it resets. If the head continues to go up, then alarms go off and people get called. And then if it continues to go up, we start shutting down the canal gates automatically so you don't blow the screens. Now, I don't know if we want to go that far here because, obviously we don't want to start shutting orifice gates or anything like that.
No.
So, but we need maybe this group, I think this group needs to figure out what we do want to happen.
Red lights, the sirens.
In the middle of the night or whenever the blockage starts building up. As a minimum, it seems like we should alert the operators so they know that something's going wrong up there. And then, optionally, maybe we also have alarms go up down in the garage office somewhere down there.
If somebody's there.
Separator booth.
Separator booth.
Because it's 24/7.
24/7, right? Yeah. Yeah, that's where it'd be.
You wouldn't call that.
Is it something the project biologist can actually click a button and do to change the screen, operate the unit, any way to clean it?
About the only thing they can do is manually start cleaning cycles.
They increase the cycles.
Right. Yeah. And usually that'll work. But if it's gotten plastered on there or if it's continuing to come in at a fast rate, which happens, brushing may not be enough. The way it's wired now is actually the worst case. What happens now, if the screens get plugged up, the water level in the collection channel builds up. And so the system says, oh, the water level's building up. I need to open the valves on the downstream side of the screens, which
creates
aggravates the head loss, which tends to hold the crap on the screen tighter. So
this has been brought up several times. I mean, Larry's brought this up for how many years now in the passive plan. So,
I guess what's the next step? If we're in agreement that we need to fix this, what do we do? Send like a memo to F. Fitterwig or something, or to the SCP spreadsheet people, or how do we take it to the design?
Go to Fitterwig. Is it design?
Mm-hmm.
Fitterwig. They get it done, and they put it in the project and get it done.
It either goes in as a, this is probably O&M-funded fix. It's most not likely a CRFM thing.
But I, the bottom line of my litany at this is that it's minor. I mean, it's easy. It's just putting some pressure taps down in there and running some wires to somewhere.
What's new?
It's nothing. I mean, not nothing, but very minor deal.
Well, yeah, but the system is.
It could be done in-house by their own signal, their own inspiration.
Out which way they have to show a deficiency in design. Maybe
it doesn't have a design.
It doesn't. Was this a deficiency in the original design?
It should have been included when they upgraded the Juvenile and stuff, but it wasn't built in.
Well, it can't be that expensive. That's probably going to
hit
the steel well type stuff. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, put something together and bring it to Fitterwig.
And then Core can argue out amongst who's pot of money.
Right, it's probably going to be an O&M.
And if anyone wants to see where the holes are that I found for putting this in, I have handouts.
Yeah.
Maybe we want once again all battery to email them to us.
Okay.
And the other.
Okay.
So FPOM recommends it goes to Fitterwig.
Goes to Fitterwig.
Okay.
Hey Ben, are you still on the phone?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, because we're gonna go into some of your items.
Well, Rod's here. Do you want?
Just you and me.
Everyone else left.
Yeah. Rod, how much time do you need?
Oh, probably, I'll whip through this pretty quickly, no more than 15 minutes.
Sold.
Okay, well, let's do Rod's, and then we'll come back to 8. So we're going to jump to which?
14,
Kaplan study. It's got some handouts.
Handout.
I'm going to go get a drink.
We like handouts.
What we've been doing is there's been a history of failures on a particular BLH turbine design. Since the original installation, we've had continuing problems and had major repairs done over the last 40 years to these machines. Additional failures have been occurring in the operating blade mechanism of the turbine and the component to move blades. And this team was pulled together to have some sort of strategy available to the ops staff and for failures that should occur in the future. So this information I'm providing is a strategy. There's not any particular work proposed for this. And I'll run through this fairly quickly because it sounds like you're getting short on time. The study team, the second page, the study team is composed of operations, technical engineering for the stress components and so forth, environmental issues. I see Mike's here and Gary's here. So they're kind of on the review team and are on the team. We have some economics involved. EPA is involved with this. And for two things, one of them is on the economic side, system stability. I'm not sure how much everyone is familiar with this problem, but we've been given several briefings and updates and so forth, so I'm not going to go into the huge details. We have failures occurring. They're unknown when they're going to occur. When one happens, what do we do? So the goal of this study is to go ahead and develop this pre-planned strategy to repair these machines should we have a failure. So in the study itself, there's 25 of these machines of the same design. They are at Lower Granite, Little Goose, Lower Monumental, and John Day, all 16 units of John Day. We've gone ahead and looked at those machines. We looked at each site individually. We looked at each of the units individually as to what effects might occur should an event happen. So you've also received a 90% copy of the full report, which is, I don't know, 1.5, 2 inches thick, that has all the details of the various things that we've done. I've included a couple pictures here so you get the idea of what's happening. The lower monumental unit one has failed. The pins are broken inside the hub. It's not repairable in place. It's going to have to be removed. It's temporarily welded in position so that it can be operated. It's unit one. We've also had a failure. It kind of shows you what happens on at John Day Unit 16. You can look at that, and one of the blades is not where it's supposed to be. So what happens is the machine starts banging around, and serious things happen. So they got to be shut down. Okay. So what we've done, this is the summary, the basic strategies that we are presently looking at, and they are, first one is it breaks, we take the machine out of the hole, haul it off, fix it, bring it back, put it back in, and away we go. Another alternative is a temporary repair. It breaks, it's a critical machine for fish, or it's a critical for some reason, we don't have the time, whatever. We can't get contracting, don't have funding, whatever. We have a temporary repair to a fixed blade design or a propeller. That means the blades cannot move. And we get our ducks in a row and go back and repair it later. So we get our funding in place and all the things arranged to do that. Final strategy is making it a permanent propeller machine. And we would do that by pinning the blades into position. They wouldn't be welded, they'd be pinned. The machine at some time in the future, should anybody decide the need, could be returned to a Kaplan. But we'll be pinning these blades. Okay, so those are the three basic strategies. And what we found so far, I've listed some findings. One of the real questions that comes up is, do they all have to be Kaplans, or can we have less numbers of Kaplans? Could fixed blade be okay to do? So we studied and the team studied, and we've gone through a year's worth of evaluations back and forth on groups, and essentially the following has resulted. There is really no operational, based on our ops staff, need for all of the machines to be kept, bluntly put, so some of them can be fixed blade. And what we found, and the majority of this is based on the requirements for fish passage, is units one and two at all of the four projects should remain Kaplan. So should they fail, we know what to do. Go in, we're going to have to make a repair. And as I stated earlier, one of the basic strategy is what happens. I mean, if it's in the middle of a fish passage season and these machines are needed for that. It takes about 3 months to make them a temporary fixed blade, so we can do it. It's just a matter of if that's a critical issue, we can do that kind of thing. On John Day, based on the system stability, electrical stability, BPA recommends no more than 8 of the machines could potentially be made propeller. And of course, one and two would be kept Kaplan, so that leaves you of the 14, the total.
Six,
right.
There's 16 total, so.
Yeah. Rod, can a synchronous condensed unit be fixed, or does that be?
We've just finished a test in January of checking that various things, and yes, they can be fixed.
Okay.
So we ran those tests, in fact, the machine actually ran them. Hard to believe it did. One of the big issues, and it should come into the fish passage issues, gosh, if we weld these blades, are operating range is severely restricted. Maybe not severely, is restricted. And where should we put the blade angle? Where should we weld the blades at? Okay. So we've done our research. The selected blade angle is 29 degrees. And what it's based on is staying within the 1% operating limits of the existing, so it's in that range, in that existing Kaplan range, it's within that 1% limit, is outside of that. We look at pressure, and you look, which has some uncertainty about its effect on fish passage, but best we have, we use the CFD analysis, the PNNL tests that are going on pressure, acclimatization and so forth.
Beat strike.
Say again?
They did the beat strike data. Davis.
Yeah, the ERDC, it's down here, ERDC information. Also looking at really good geometry where it matches well. We have, you know, we've done our operational field test to make sure everything seems to work fine at the blade angle, at that blade angle. And the unit is stable at that, so we don't get surging and pulsing. So that, it looks like a good fit. It, 29 degrees also, apparently, for John Day, when there was a biological test performed, there appeared to have the highest survival around that blade angle. So that's included in the mix here. So we try to consider all the information we have available in doing this selection. So I thought it might be interesting for you to see what the performance differences might be, because this group's going to have to, may have to face that. And well, I've given you the first one is at lower monumental, 1 to 3, over its typical operating range, what the Kaplan 1% operating limit is, and where 29 degrees is as a fixed blade. So you can see that the power operating range is reduced significantly.
Hey, Rod, do these have screens in or screens out?
Screens in. So this information is essentially with the screens in, based on the information we have. I think what might be of more interest to some of you is, you can see this power limit, but the next one is, this is John Day. You start looking at this a little bit, you'll start to see that you only got about 1,200, maybe a little bit more, CFS flexibility in operation. So if you try to go in within a 1% range there, you're limited. And so these machines are essentially going to be, turn them on, put them at their sweet spot, and let them go. Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's what these curves are based on, a bunch of curves. And this is one.
One.
Every curve is a blade angle, so that's what develops the ill diagram. So
right.
You're just one piece of that.
That's
all you get left.
Yep.
Kind of
put it in my head. Correct. So this gives you an idea. Again, this is what the fish screens. Our current status of the report and our strategy is we're presently incorporating 90% comments, which you folks have the opportunity to provide. Any comments here would be, or they're welcome. And any written comments would go to Mike, and he'll get them to the team. What we need to do is complete the economics, outages, and how long, and so forth. Complete a final review once we get that incorporated, and then prepare the final report and distribute it and coordinate it and implement the strategy so that down the road the operations staff and folks are prepared for what might happen. So there isn't vacillation on what do we do? What do we do?
Did you incorporate a unit priority list?
Yes.
What is it? We're trying to change it.
We followed what was in the FPP in general.
But aren't we changing John Day again?
Report.
Huh? Are we changing John Day again?
We did it two ways at John Day. We did the FPP, the base, what without TSWs, and with the new TSW turbine priorities. We did both, I believe.
Yes.
Correct. Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Good. So we've tried to incorporate this. You know, Mike's been on this, and Johnson from Walla Walla, and we've kept the staff right on up speed, so I think we should have good information for basing the strategy. On the last sheet, I threw out some remaining issues that I think might apply to this group in the long term, not necessarily next week, not next month, maybe not next year, but maybe in the long term issues. Our assumption was that if a machine was made of propeller, it would be the last on and first off. That is could possibly change based on what other findings might occur out in the field. In other words, we really don't have a biological test or any type of information to say that this is a good spot to operate, or it's a bad spot. We think it's a good one, but we don't have that information. So we've assumed that it should be last on and first off. Things could change as time goes on. I thought you should just be aware of that. That's what we're assuming. If we have make a machine into a propeller, obviously we got to come up with new operating tables. And so we could expect index test type of service to go on out in the field, and new tables and revisions to the fish passage plan. So those things can occur in the future should we have a failure. One of the things I want...
Hey, Rob, are you going to be near one of the extremes?
Near one of the extremes? Well,
the 1% has a wide range, and if you fix the blade somewhere in the middle, what's...
Somewhere between peak and...
About 1%. That's why I gave you the one set of curves.
But I'm just saying you may not even need a table. It's just as your head changes, it changes, but there's nothing we can do about it.
Right.
Well, we still have to... We have information that has to remain in the control system to maintain...
Right, but for the fish passage plan, there's nothing that we can actually change. The unit's either on or off. Your head changes, but it's for different reasons. So I don't know if we'll need anything for the fish passage plan.
That is a good question. That's something that would have to be addressed by...
The wicket gates are set at one location.
Well, they're going to move with the various needs of the head being changed. And again, it's still got under governor control. Should there be some speed fluctuations or various things, it's going to move around a little. The gates are going to move around a little bit, but they're not going to go very far.
No, they wouldn't be able to.
I think, as I recall, the total operating range of those gates is like 4 degrees of rotation, which out of 60 is pretty small. So that's
pretty small.
Is there just one head that these will be on cam, or is that right? As you move up away from that specific head, up or down, you're going
to
be okay.
No, it's always, when you think about it, you have to look back at this first curve. That's why I put it in here. It will be, if it's at its peak, it's on cam and all the heads.
Right.
Yeah.
So.
But you're going to be off peak as at different heads.
For that head, you aren't at the very maximum efficiency.
Right. You're going to be off peak. Off the very peak.
Right.
At times.
Right.
But you're still within the range.
Right.
Now, Rod, this is, I tried to fill folks in a while back, a few months ago on this as well. And I'm trying to remember if this is being viewed now as a permanent fix, or, until we get into a real rehab.
So that's part of the outcome of the strategy is do we pin them, as he said, which would mean you could go back and fix it as Kaplan, or do you
weld
them and take the oil out? You can take the oil out of that, and you're done. That's what's going to stay in there.
Well, BPA has requested that all the machines that we consider pinning, and that's what would happen for a permanent fix, that they keep the oil.
So you could go back.
Because there's all these other parts that are involved in the shafting and these other things that would be destroyed by water.
Plus, TSP is still on a track of trying to define best operating point. Right. We may get new information in the future that would change where these
That's what
go.
Concerns me, too, is that we may, in terms of draft two operation and flow, we may want to operate outside of this range.
Of course, and that's another reason for the pinning.
Yeah.
There's still a lot of us move and re-drill and,
right.
and change yeah. things.
Maybe down the road we'll pull the whole thing out and replace it with a better design.
BPA has indicated that they are not willing to, they will repair any machine that breaks. there won't be any that are mothballed, I'll call it, or abandoned or at this time in any case.
Except for maybe at the Dallas.
Also, I wanted to point out the length of duration for a capital. Using our standard core processes, it's going to take close to 3 years to get a machine repaired.
Wow.
So, hence, we have these temporary repairs. And what we would do is, gee, it's failed. We do a temporary repair. It could be operated if needed, and then get our ducks in a row, get the contractors on board, blah, 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 blah. We're also looking into other techniques for contracting, IDIQ type things, where you can bring people in immediately to do work. So they're in the mix of the study. The study's not done yet. And I'm, you know, basically giving you an update on the strategy and what we're looking at. One of the final things I have here is, this wasn't in the scope of our study, but we've added a kind of an explanation of being proactive, and that is potentially to go into the machines now, you know, take them down, pull the cone off the runner, go inside, inspect it, replace the parts that are bad, that you can do in that manner, put it back together again and, you know, take off again as a capless. I don't think anybody is, BPA isn't real excited about having, you know, a lot of propellers. They want operation flexibility, but this could come through. It's not really part of our scope. We're just mentioning it in the report. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
You said 3 years. Is that 3 years to completely repair to Kaplan, or is that 3 years to fix?
3 years to completely repair. It takes
still quite a while, considering the Bonneville First Powerhouse rehabs were about a year, a little over a year per unit, right?
What you got going? He's saying to say, okay, I broke today, 3 years from the start of contracting
with completion.
The actual work isn't going to take that long.
It'll take a year at least, but I wouldn't think three. Yeah, it just depends on
what
kind of ducks you have in a row.
Remember, you know, some of the things we're dealing with are like, if we have a failure, got to get the funding to repair this. So the first step is you got to get the funding. So then you got to work up.
So yeah, it depends on the ducks you have in a row. If you have your funding sitting there, but if you don't, then you've got that. So
you got that time lag before you can even start.
Yeah, I can see at least two for sure.
And it takes a good period of time to get these parts built, made. So we are procuring a spare set of parts. EPA has recognized that that's a good idea to try to cut the time down. So
how identical are the parts unit to unit? I know
they're
all the
same
family. They're all identical, supposedly.
All we're doing is leaving them a little oversized.
So that makes sense to have at least one set of parts sitting somewhere. We've got 25 units. They're all the same in the system.
And your snake plants are the more critical ones,
yeah,
you would imagine.
If you want to start, you know, you've got six to work with.
But they are all the same family and the same parts. So.
There's
ice.
So it's the first units 1 to 3 on the snake are the
three. You know, the three powerhouses, and then those are the old units.
Okay.
Other question: the repair before you break it concept. How much time does that take to go through and do that kind of work compared to say if you break it and have to go weld it?
It doesn't take that long. The thing we're envisioning, whether this makes any sense or not, is if this is important enough, we hire somebody and just go right down the line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you could hire four somebodies and go
right down the line.
Get it done. So, you know, those, it wasn't really in the scope, but we're laying that kind of information out so that the managers have time to think about it. We might be doing a little more study to do that.
Yeah, no, I just want to say, if you break it and you have to go and spend time to take it down, weld, all that kind of stuff, there's a certain cost there. If you find out your repair costs are less, there's a fairly, one would think, a good argument to keep for basically doing the repairs.
That's why it's there.
I figured that's why you're dealing with it.
Yeah.
So.
Just to give you an example, maybe I mentioned it, the temporary repair will take about 3 months to
weld it, basically.
To
weld it in place, yeah.
Tonga, really.
It takes about 5 months.
Yeah. That's pretty fast, really. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You don't have to unstaff that. Yeah,
well, you just got to be able. One of the things that we found was every time they broke it, is the machine jams inside those mechanisms.
Right.
Crammed together and it gets stuck. And, you know, maybe you move it if you.
And it'll come loose or
something like that. But it's unsafe in that environment to get too much popper going down there with the jacks and so forth. So you can drop the cone and maybe you can get the stuff loose. We've been able to do that so far.
You don't know how far you have to unstack is what you're saying.
Right.
You
know, well, here's the critical issue is that these pins that, you know, help the mechanism move, there's a set of pins in the top of the runner area that are not accessible. It has to be taken apart. You have to remove the blade to get to it. So you're stuck.
Have they made any advancements in looking for indicators for failing units? They're talking about looking into
prioritizing.
Well, to see if there's something that's indicating that you have an imminent failure or.
We did some initial work in that area and could find nothing that really.
So there's no way to prioritize the units. You basically just go through one at a time.
It appears what the problem might be is that in the when they were installed, if somebody didn't get the shims right or didn't quite get things lined up perfectly,
it shortens
the life of these. So these pins end up, they can wobble if they're not aligned properly. And so these guys have been in service for a long time. And they can sit there. And the last one side of the pin broke off, and the other one worked for God knows how long, and then finally it let go. So, you know.
Ran a long time with a broken half.
Yeah, but yeah. You couldn't tell.
Yeah, all 7 turns.
So what we would inspect is go in and UT and test the metal, make sure there aren't any cracks.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of discussion that said, why do we even fool around? Well, let's just go in and replace these parts and be done with it. So those things have to be gone.
Sorted out, yeah.
The cost. I expect to see a big rat's nest anyway.
Yeah.
It's ready to fall apart. So that's only one unit on the snake. Well, you can be only looking at one unit on the snake. Three all the way down to the monumental, right?
For permanent. The others.
The other ones are already made half.
Right, but the question is, should we go in and repair them before they break?
Mm-hmm. On the others?
Yeah, on those others, should we go in there and take care of that eventuality?
And the 4 through 6?
No.
Or just the 1 or 2s?
1 or 2s.
About priority.
4 through 6. The ones you want to take, Kaplan, go in and do a pre-repair on those.
Well, yeah, 5 out of 6 units are going to be Kaplan anyway.
The other three we weren't in the study. We
I know they're different designs, but they're also
we're getting there too.
Yeah, but it could be a different type of failure that may not apply to this or not. We don't know, but the strategy, you know, should make sense for other situations also. Mm-hmm. We just have them looking into the other sites.
Any other questions for Rod? Thanks for coming and doing that. We've been waiting for a while to get that info, so good stuff.
On this issue, Larry's gone.
Larry's gone, so yeah, back to McNary.
I just want to make sure that with the way we left that, I was a little uncomfortable with. Let's get an O&M response. I want to make sure that we've brought this up year after year after year, and it ends up getting jump back to the back burner or buried or ignored, and I don't want to get ignored. So what we've said is we'll make a recommendation to Federig, but that doesn't mean that Federig will actually bring it up or that we'll remember between now and then. So I'd like to make sure that it stays, that O&M addresses. I'd like to have Brad's thoughts on it,
mm-hmm.
the district's thoughts, yes. On whether it's
doable.
This is, yeah, because Larry's gone like through a lot of trouble here.
And that's what we asked him to do.
It's done, so.
Yeah. So, it's balls in Brad's court.
Yeah, or the project.
Tim's court.
Yeah, I just want to make sure. I want to make sure that we continue the discussion.
Dykstra
and
Brad.
Here as well.
So, we can move out on this.
Well, I don't think just Brad for reference, yeah. But it's basically Tim's.
Right. Yeah.
It's Tim, period.
All right. Thank you. All right, let's move on.
I've got him.
Bonneville Powerhouse 1 STS installation, Ben Houseman.
Fell asleep.
I know. Come on, Ben.
Oh, what?
Number 8.
Yeah, I'm here.
8, your favorite number.
I don't know what that means, but can you, I mean, everyone's got this short right up in front of them, I guess?
Yeah, the agenda.
So, yeah, that's what we call it, I guess. As you can see, trying to change priority units, at least as far as short term, to units 1 and 2, due to the modifications they're currently doing as we speak. They're going to have automated gates, and the process of installing those automated gates is going to take the power supply away as far as STSs go. So what we would like to do is have STSs go in units 1 and 2 this year. For the last time, hopefully.
This is for September.
Yeah.
Right. But, okay, so there's a couple of issues. There's unit priority as it is now, and it's 1, 3, 6, 2. The automated gates are going over units 3, 6, and 10. So if you want your open chain gates over what will probably be operating units, you need to change the unit priority to accommodate that. So there's that issue. The other one is that we can't put screens in Unit 3 because there will be no power to power the screens, so the request is to put them in Unit 2, which will have the power remaining.
So from September to December, you've got to change the screens. The screens are going 1 and 2, so you have to change the priority unit for that.
And it won't really be December because we anticipate taking the wall out this year, so hopefully it'll only be till October and November. But don't quote me on that, because apparently it doesn't work that way.
Okay, I'm just trying to catch up. You said something about the the automated gates for the ITS are going where?
3, 6, and 10.
3, 6, and 10. Okay.
So if you don't care if they're not over priority units, then that's not an issue.
They should be over priority units.
Then we'll need to change.
Which is the thing? Chicken and egg here.
Well, the gates are already going in. The ITS is dewatered, and they're already installing them in 3, 6, and 10. So if you want them over...
Hello?
Debbie?
No, you got the wrong number. Sorry.
So if you want them... over priority units, and we need to change unit priority to 3, 6, 10, and then whatever it would be. 1, 2, 4.
No, 1's the priority unit.
Okay, well then we have a priority unit without an operating chain gate.
And why is that?
I don't know.
Who chose that? Who chose that?
Who reviewed that design?
This is catching me flat-footed. And then why aren't we putting an a gate over unit 1? That's what we've been doing for years.
You may have to ask Dennis about that.
Yeah,
I think he was, wasn't he the biologist working on this?
3, 6, 10.
Yeah, nice.
What units are they over again, Haley?
3, 6, and 10.
But normally they're over 1, 3, and 6.
6, right.
And 10 makes sense to the other end, but what about 1?
Are you worried about adult fallback and you don't want it to happen?
No, I'm not worried about adult fallback. I mean, 1 is a priority unit for adult passage, for adult traction.
Right, right.
And
you worry about when they come back around that they're going to get in training and fallback.
Well, that's fine. They're fine. They'll fall back through whatever they want to fall back through. I'm not worried about that. I mean, for this way, right, not for the unit. I'm worried about unit fallback.
Is that where the chain gate's closed? Is it an adult fallback issue?
I don't think so. We want to make sure that the two units that are running have screens.
Unit 1, we don't need a modulating gate there. Is that how it's supposed to operate?
It'll be running all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So you don't need a modulating gate
but
there with
the
other
sensors. Well, so then
so
we don't have to worry about this.
If that's the plan, I don't know. Ben, did you hear if the chain gates over unit 1 would just be all the way down on sill?
You mean when the automated gates are in?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the capacity
That wasn't my understanding, but it could be.
You see, the capacity wasn't limited by gate 1. Gate 1 could
right.
be open.
Right. I thought that's what
right.
I recall too.
The project
I know that there was talk of
that
because it doesn't really affect the rest of the channel because it dumps so quickly
right.
down.
Right.
So that may indeed be the case.
Well, if that's the case, then...
Then we can change this.
Yeah, 1 and 3 is
which
fine.
Which is fine.
Let me follow up on that. Or you could ask Dennis when you're on the project. We'll follow up on that.
Okay,
it's in
yeah.
Texas. It's on next.
I believe that's right.
Okay, well, so then the other issue... We can deal with
the power issue.
We can't put a screen in unit
yeah,
3 and have
power.
So we'll have to put it in 1 and 2. Or 1 and 4.
From September to when
so
it's
whenever,
done.
Yeah.
And the power, again, is
they have
line.
Pulled the power that powers the screens, and it is now the power that they've put in there is to power the automated gate.
Okay.
So there's
sense.
No power for
yeah,
screens.
But you don't want to have extra stuff in there later. Okay. Well, the big issue here is, the concern here is juvenile passage, really, and making sure that we have good sluice flow passage for those first couple weeks of September when we still have fish passing, fair numbers. And it normally is better to have a unit running under the open gate, but I don't know that it's that essential. So, I don't know, it's kind of not a big issue.
So you don't mind if it goes in unit?
I don't think it's going to be that big of an effect on this way passage, whether it's, you've only got 2 units running.
As 1 and 3 or 1 and 2?
Let's see, 1 and 3 are open, 1 and 2 operating. Yeah, I think that'd be fine. You can't put this thing in. Can you put the STSs in 4? I mean, is that possible?
Yeah, you could. There's no difference. 4 is further down on the priority than 2, though.
I know. Now, 2, adult, still better for adult passage.
Okay, so we will change unit priority for September through December.
Yeah,
okay.
1 and 2 instead of 1 and 3.
And is there going to be a follow-up by you?
On unit 1's gate, how it operates, yes. I got a military.
So
yeah.
Do you want to move unit 10 up in priority, so it'd go 1, 3, 6, 10? Or do you care? Since they'll have an operating
automated
gate?
No, let's just get that.
You want to wait on that?
Yeah, let's wait on that until we get to that question. This is just your to get you through the emergency or the unusual sort of circumstance of September.
Then I'm just going to delete that from the agenda.
All right. We're good?
Yeah.
Okay. Let's move on. Bonneville fish unit outage. 1 fish unit at a time is needed to be out of service. 7 to 1700 for 2 days for transformer.
Covered that.
Covered?
Do it now.
No, we didn't cover it. The dates are changed.
From the list?
Yeah.
The dates are what?
Ben, do you have an update on the dates?
March what?
Oh, March nothing. They were like 17, 18, or 18, 19. They're not going to be ready to do it then. It's going to have to be probably first week, hopefully, of April. They need 1 fish unit per day.
Keep going the wrong direction.
Yeah.
Let's try February.
How about February tomorrow? Prior to powerhouse at the end of the season.
Sweet.
Was this part of that thing that you had?
It was
got?
Part of it, but it talked about the date.
Yeah, it was.
It
was the middle one that you were concerned about.
It's right here.
All right. I totally confused. So that moves to first week of April.
Yeah.
There's a change form, which will now be changed slightly, but
And this is not flexible?
Fairly laid out.
They need to get it done.
Then why are we waiting?
Something happened last week while I wasn't around, so maybe Ben knows the
letter. Ben, why are we waiting? Why do we have to bump this back?
They're not ready to do it. They've done the majority of it during winter maintenance, but there's a component of it that they're not ready to do as far as switching out. I'm not the best person to ask for this, obviously, but it's to switch out batteries, and it's got several components to it. I mean, one is just a straight up switching event, which we do, you know, occasionally, and that component can happen midnight to 4 a.m. kind of time frame. But there's a portion of it that they will not be ready to do by the March 18th outage that was scheduled.
So why this is this says this scheduled outage is 0700 or 17 up to 5 p.m. Why not at night?
I think they need more time. They can do the switching portion at night, but whatever they have to do, I mean, I think it's literally like pulling wires out of one and sticking them in the new equipment. And
why can't they start at 1700 and work until
3?
Yeah.
Why does it have to be done during daytime as opposed to nighttime?
I don't think it probably does.
Because that, you know, once you get into April, that time frame, you're getting into
that's a serious passion. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if they're restricted to doing it at night, the window of time won't change, but they could switch hours, I would imagine.
Yeah.
And I'd be even willing to give them like an extra day. I'd rather have them do two half days at night than one full day during the day.
Well, is this something that once they get started, they have to get it done?
Yeah. Why don't you check into it more?
That would be great.
Because it should be, April, March probably okay with it, but April,
that's good.
This is bad timing. I mean, this is the wrong time of the.
Yeah, because we'll be catching early, getting an early return.
What are the dates again? We're not having them wrong. What's the new dates?
First week of April.
What days?
And as tight as they've given me, that was yesterday, and they couldn't guess any better at this point.
Okay, so it's just the first week. First full week. Fifth through the 10th.
Yeah, I'm assuming so.
Hey, Ben, have you been talking to Don, or are you talking to the actual guys doing it?
I was talking to John Thomas from our tech staff out here about it yesterday.
We don't want to switch priorities. Powerhouse, because you have too many.
So I read this as saying that each unit needs to be out for 2 days.
No, each unit 1 day.
2 day total, one for F1, one for F2.
That's correct.
So can you do it at night?
Yes.
And can you do it sooner?
Yes.
I don't think they'll be able to do it sooner, according to John. That was the catch as of yesterday, but I don't see why they couldn't do it at night except, you know, they'll have to schedule to get folks in here.
Lights and all that stuff.
So, Ben, you want to ask John if that's possible, and if you're getting, you can't get an answer, give me a call?
Sure.
I'll run the other one.
Okay.
And for what it's worth, we can stay in criteria with one fish unit if we test things.
Depends on tailwater, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah, but you need higher low.
Lower would be harder.
Yeah, lower is harder.
And that's probably what's going to be in April.
What would be that this year? Have to put more water out.
You don't know. We're in the corner flag. Yeah, that's something.
I don't know what's going on.
So Ben will run it down, and if he can't get the answer, I'll work it through transmission mileage. Okay.
All right.
Cool.
Yeah, otherwise we have a concern here. So yeah. Definitely.
In March, I can move it. Be in April.
Yeah, early March.
But if it's in criteria, I mean, that's our number one thing.
It's in criteria.
Right, so if it's in criteria, it can be done during the day. If it isn't in criteria, we would like to move to the night.
Yeah. Yeah, that's reasonable.
If you think you can keep it in criteria.
Okay. Right. Yeah. I mean,
it just depends
on
the tailwater and where we're at and, you know, how much flow you can get out.
Because if you do one fine and can't do it, then you have to do the next one at night. That's how you're going to know you're not going to be able to be in criteria.
Well,
that's going to be tough to predict.
Yeah.
The other thing, too,
at night.
I guess I'll bring this up as I always do. Where are we going to be with the orifices, floating orifices?
You're asking Brian.
Well, I think I'm asking
and I'm
Ben.
Looking at you.
You're at the sea line.
Looking at your phone.
Well, the sleds should be in place. I mean, you know, that's the supposedly this year we should have those floating orifices running again, and that's more flow.
Yeah, I think we will.
Okay, so can we keep floating orifices and entrances, for main entrances criteria. Open?
Now you're making it harder on it.
Yeah, I know, but...
I mean, obviously we lose a lot of water out those, so...
Yeah.
Better off going at night, I'm sure.
Yeah, I think so.
You can do it at night good, but if you have to, could we shut the floating orifices for that period of time?
If we get the bar...
Not easily.
Having to shut them is kind of a nightmare.
It's for snap plate here.
Effort.
But fast?
No.
With the bison.
No.
If your power is one, you got a button, but power is two.
You know, it's... We could have a lot of fish by that time, okay. Too.
We'll run it to ground and see if we run into problems.
Oh, you'll be running problems.
All right, the next two I'm going to combine.
Okay.
Bonneville's BGS preseason inspection. It's set for March 11th and 12th, and this was prior to the memo from Gary requesting the corner collector be opened on the 1st of March. So if it is, depending on what happens with the corner collector, this dive is going to be going on the 11th, 12th to look at the debris buildup on the upper 10 feet of the BGS. Apparently there's some fairly large logs, minor maintenance on the anchoring system, and just the overall inspection.
But the corner collector can be open.
This is just this what's happening here. So if the corner collector is open, they're going to bring a crane in and close it for 2 days, do the work, and then open it back up.
They don't need to bring a crane in unless a 65-ton crane
is 65-ton is in the nav lock and doing the – yeah. So that would be a CRFM-funded crane.
So you can't have those guys doing at the upper end of the – BGS with a corner collector, and even with like a safety boat and all that kind of stuff?
No. Nope.
Who did that last year?
No.
Right.
We've gone through that a couple times now. So, corner collector's got to be shut down.
All right. Well, the only thing we've done differently is we left it open, but it was hooked to a crane with a guy sitting there ready to drop it, so it really doesn't change the need.
That's what I would probably suggest you do then.
You still need a crane,
wasn't
it?
You got a crane.
Well, there'd be a crane there anyway.
Yeah, we'll be renting a crane.
I'm trying to get a crane.
Will Mahar allow that?
Yeah, he allowed it once last year. I don't know.
Okay.
Did he allow it with divers in the water, though, or just the guys in the boat?
Do you think a diver would be better? He's got a submarine water system.
I'm not sure.
He can walk to
I'd have to see which operation that was for.
Okay. Well, you'll check into it. Either way, you're going to either close it or have a crane there to shut it if it's
you need a basically, you need a crane.
Crane here either way, yeah.
Why the 11th and 12th?
That's
true, because couldn't you bump this? If you could operate it with the corner collector open, you just have a crane sitting there, the nav lock closes, you're done with that on the 22nd of March?
Yeah.
Couldn't you do it after that so you don't need a crane? You need 65
well, I don't know the details because the man's in Texas.
Well, I'm saying that might
my
be
question
a way to get
is, why don't we do it now? Why was it in the middle of March?
Yeah, I know.
Why
aren't you doing it now is a better question.
Is it because of the divers and getting the contract? Yeah. Why, you know, if you're going to do a preseason inspection, why didn't you do it in February?
The other, exactly.
One might ask that question.
The other part
so
of it would be...
One might reference their August FCOM meeting.
Do you know anything about this?
Where it was brought up and suggested it be coordinated.
Right,
today.
So.
We inspected it last fall.
We did a post inspection and then all of a sudden this came up. So I don't know if what the details are around that.
Well, the debris showed up after the post inspection, so it's.
So is it your debris?
That wasn't able to be foreseen by Dennis, but it was, it's significant stuff under higher flows. It seems like it's kind of pulling down the BGS a little bit, so it's.
That's fine.
I think it is something we probably want to check out before we get higher springtime flows.
But I
can't explain the middle of March date any better.
Yeah. That was, okay, we got to get moving on that. This is as soon as we can get a diver in the water. We don't have the Army divers available either. So
this is the soonest, 11th and 12th, is as soon as they can get somebody in the water?
I don't know.
So we could probably postpone it then.
Answer that question right now.
Hey, Ben, can you check with Pat Hunter to see if it can be delayed till after the navlock comes back and we have our own crane?
Yeah, I can check.
Yeah, and the only thing I'd be careful about that is if first find out that if you can have the corn collector open with a crane attached to it.
Otherwise, it doesn't matter.
Otherwise, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. Well, what I was thinking was that preferably, if we're going to close this thing, I mean, this kelt issue and the corn collector issue has been a hard-fought issue this year, then to go ahead and close right at the right when kelt's
right now,
I would rather close it earlier.
That's my point. That's what I'm saying. First, find out if you can leave the corn collector operating with a crane in place while these guys are in the water. If you can't, then do it as soon as you can. If you can leave it open with a crane attached to it, then you can do it any time during March and wait till after your nav work is done. Get your 65-ton fancy new crane over there and sit there with it.
Well, yeah, that's cheaper for them. But I mean, from a fish standpoint, we don't have a problem.
Open it on the 10th of April like it's planned to open right now.
That's an alternative.
Which leads us into.
Do you want us? Do you want some of the heavy in
the bag over here? What did you say about getting kicked in the what?
You know, I've got a framing hammer down the car.
Which leads us into the next one. The next one is Gary's request to open it on the 1st. I mean, when we. Well, your memo, your recommendation, not request, sorry. Conclusion recommendation, March 1, maintain this use through the bill season.
It's there on the agenda. It was sent to everyone.
No idea. Eventually.
So what do we do with number 10?
Number 10 is to get some more information on it. And
I mean, if you can't do it any sooner.
Right.
Then
can we do it sooner? Can we do it later? Can we do it? It depends on what we do with this one here.
Do you understand all of our crazy news?
Yeah, but I mean, if it's going to be open, then I'm more concerned about it later than sooner. And that's really all I'm worried about. If you can do it with having a crane attached to it any time, well, that's the best.
I still have a feeling.
That's what I'm saying. Find it out first.
I think that was with a boat.
Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
So Hausman's going to check on this?
And get her done fast as you can.
So let's get into the recommendation of March 1st. I know that Bob Wertheimer was working on white paper, which he still has not completed, but he's in Erdic and something happened.
What are you doing at Erdic tonight? Stop him. We can speak to him quick.
No, hold on.
Well, he just fell on his computer again.
That's I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what he's doing.
It.
But anyway, regardless
it's all
of.
Dropped into the model.
Sorry. We've got this recommendation from National Marine Fisheries to open it on March 1st. If you want to go ahead and talk about that. Well, all right, it's from Gary.
There we go.
Gary Fredericks.
Former employee of NOAA.
Are you here who are you representing right now?
Me.
Okay.
A private consultant.
Yeah. But I would also say other members have stated strong support for.
Well, we'll go around the room and let you all chime in.
Yeah, so those might know some people that have talked about it.
Yeah, so I mean, obviously this has been going around, and we know that there's
other fun discussions.
There's the ice and trash sluice way in the Dalles is open for a study starting March 1st. Gary's come in with this recommendation for March 1st to the corn collector, if you want to talk to it.
Well, I think everybody's seen it, so there's not much to say, I don't think. I mean, I didn't come.
Are there questions as well with the crowd?
Say a whole lot. Yeah, if anybody's got questions about what I put in here, it's I've tried to cite, you know, as many papers as we have out there on it. I've looked at all the data that I could find from pit tag data that which there aren't very many of. The work that was done by whoever it was, Boggs and those guys, Gary and
do you know if your guys, because I asked Jerry at Fish Passage Center, because one thing that did come up was, one thing that came up was the idea of like how safe is adult passage through the corn collector, because that's just kind of an unknown. Did you guys ever happen to take a look at fallbacks and then look at reascension rates compared to other passage routes for good type fish? I asked Jerry to do that. I have not seen a response from anybody.
Any time of year, fallbacks to the corn.
I was saying just,
versus
I said spring.
Undetected to the JBS.
Yeah, I use spring just because I figure it's gonna be that's as close as you're gonna get to what kelt are gonna experience. And you don't have to deal with the temperature issue for kelt. So I said just use.
I don't think that temperature is probably with these large fish. You know, that's a predation issue. I think that'd be more maybe sea lions being there in the spring, but it's really the large fish and hydraulic forces. Yeah, would be the big difference between kelts and what we know about juveniles, which is part of that.
Yeah. So that's why I said I just didn't know if you guys happened to take a look at that. I asked Jerry, I haven't seen anything, so
No.
So what is your position on opening it? What date?
What do you think?
I want to hear it.
Did you see the official cores and our importance on Celts? It seems our standpoint is like, with the importance the region has put on Celts and just the need for steelhead improvements, it seems like this would be a prudent operation. 5K, we're not advocating for a 50K spill. Some people in our office were. But we said 5K seems to make it a thing. Our stance is this is a fish bypass structure, and this is what you're doing. You're bypassing fish. So why would you not?
Are you requesting a tailwater change, too, for gas?
I don't know if we're going to have a problem with that, are we?
Why wouldn't you? There's a chance we're running to chum minimums. 11.5.
I know. I'm just wondering,
what kind of gas levels are you at?
Yeah.
We get it elevated every year above
105. It depends on the ambient conditions you're starting with. We violated gas conditions in 2005. We didn't.
It'll be for what, 6 weeks?
Five.
It's potential.
540 days.
But we say that because when I say the gas standards of 105, that's a state standard, despite the fact that we've had this information on the chum and their ability to be buffered from that. There are two separate issues. The state standard is now 105%. So if the Corps is willing to take a hit on exceeding TDG, I'd say
so the Fish and Wildlife Service is saying what?
Well,
after that answer, I'm not sure.
Well, the 105 standard is questionable in itself.
Yeah, but it is the standard.
I don't think there is a 105 standard for that part of the river from the state. The state's shallow water standard would apply up and down the river, but it doesn't. It's 110.
I've never had a well-defined answer to the question. Water is less than 2 feet.
And
so I can't answer
the state river, but that's not what they've been.
I think from the perspective of the steelhead, I think it would be advantageous to have it open.
Water, but
at the same time, I wouldn't want to be advocating violation of the state standards.
Right. I don't think we would agree with that. Because we're violating Clean Water Act.
But you don't know that you're going to.
Right.
Some years you might, many years you wouldn't. Now, if you're going towards a low water year, you would hedge your bet that you're probably going to be more towards violating it.
In the future, when there's an automated gate on it, you could operate it just like you would still.
Hopefully next year.
Turn it on and off, manage it, operation based on what the money is.
And absent the issue for the chum, I'd say, or the state standard, let me say, because the issue isn't, I think, with the chum. But absent that issue, I'd say, yeah, open it for the steelhead.
Rick?
Same.
Washington?
When is you document kelp passage at Bonneville at all?
You bet.
Yeah. And when do they start showing up?
March 1st.
Really?
Then when you open it,
we don't start seeing them until.
It varies so much by year, and what he'll have summarized in the white paper, the counts in the JBS. People, when you first open the JBS, there's someone sitting on the separator. They'll count counts. There was some data available for that. We had 500 one year and over 500 in
March
to early April. So when they open the JBS, the first week of March, usually that is.
And so we look
up. And so timing, I don't know about the timing on March 1st, but
it was March 10th they opened
the year. You expect to see a lot of kelps in April 1st. Or you more like.
Well, the data that were handed out last meeting, or maybe it was a 3 week, you probably weren't there. But it showed that there were kelp-sized fish from the hydroacoustic work that it did some, I guess it was.
Hydroacoustic.
That's right. That showed up from March 1 all the way through. And there were fewer early in the season, but there were still.
Well, and it jumped all over the place.
It jumped all over, yeah. Daytime, there was really no temporal or.
We had two cool, we looked at 2007, 2008, two cool, wet years in the spring. And if you look back to 2003, when, like Mike was alluding to, there was over almost 600 that passed during March, shaping up more like a year like this year is kind of looking like, where you get the drier, lower water conditions, where you get the exposures there, the southern exposure, the Wind River, and some of those other Klickitat, and they warm up fast. So that's, we did the two years. How reflective are they? But it could be
So
am I hearing that, okay,
I'm hearing
three support March 1st operation, or is it just a March operation, and then given that we can avoid exceeding our TDG standard?
March 1st. And I'm still, I'm not, is the standard 105 or 110? That's so what I'm going
to it's kind of messy there. That is a messy thing.
That's a highly debated.
Is it hard to get the clarity on that, or is it?
Well, I mean, if you run around, you're going to find 2 feet of depth everywhere, but standard is really a 110 standard, except for shallow water. Shallow water meaning a small stream or hatchery intakes. You know, that can be.
So you define it.
Otherwise, the state standard is 105. But then where's 110 apply?
You know,
this part of the river, but not that part, you know.
Don't write this. I posed those exact questions to representatives of Oregon DEQ, and I got no satisfaction.
No, yeah, really, that's because I've read the regs, and it doesn't make sense either.
Is that a Warndale, too?
Well, yeah, but where are you measuring it? You need a
Is it likely to exceed 110?
No.
And so then in court, you could probably argue it either way, huh?
We've operated to the 105 in the past. It's been an issue that we've
had. Well, the 105 came out of the buyout. I mean, I put it in there.
And that was a
thing.
That was for a chip for a fry.
You want to go down for another 12-hour discussion about that? We can stay here all night.
So, Bernie, do you need anything else on this?
Well, we're still in the process of finishing this before we make our technical recommendation.
What's BPA's deficient?
We're still formulating as well.
So there is no recommendation from FPOM, so we just wasted what?
Well, there is. I mean, this is helpful getting the agency's input on
it. What did you think you were going to hear?
That's what I thought I'd hear.
Good. Yeah. Well, and if we confirmed your suspicions. From the Corps or from BPA, this is a waste of time. Let's move on.
We hope to move. We hope to come in with a recommendation because we're struggling with this in the FOP right now.
I know.
That's one of the reasons we're not seeing it.
There's been calls, right?
I'll say it's not an easy call on our part. The data aren't clear showing about that.
I think it's
clear. So that's where we're at.
And I guess my question is if this is. It's not clear showing a benefit, but it's obviously not clear not showing a benefit. I mean, last time I checked, we are under a Jeopardy standard.
I guess the piece that I didn't mention, but the thing that really turned my mind, because I was actually going down the road of writing a memo against, based on the Table 7 data from Boggs et al., but after looking more carefully at those data and finding out that they're based on less than a handful of fish, handful, and looking at and the information that I got from Bob and from Tom and others about the fact that these early kelp out migrants return at higher rates. They tend to be in better condition when they go out, and they tend to return at higher rates. It seems to me that you'd want to protect that group as much as you possibly can. And the fact that we saw that there a significant portion of the pit tag fish, which there were only a handful of, there aren't many tagged, were Bonneville pool fish, which, again, I make another assumption, but I assume that they're likely winter run fish, which are in very low numbers. It seemed to me that it was prudent that the preponderance of evidence was there to provide some better protection for those fish. The other piece of information that I looked at was survival through the various routes. We don't have much because Table 7 is very thin, but we don't have much in the way of looking at adult survival, but we do have juvenile survival and going through turbines. What we do see at Bonneville is that little fish tend to do better than bigger fish, and kelp are bigger fish. So, we haven't seen any problem size related with the corner collector. So, I think if somebody wants to stand there and tell me that the turbines are a better route of passage than the corner collector, I'd have to ask them what they were smoking at the time.
Did you make a recommendation in your memo, or did you just state that fact that the corner collector is most likely the safest?
I made a recommendation to operate it on or about March 1. And we can argue over whether it's March 1 or March 7. Because the numbers are a little thin early on, but I didn't have what Bob had just said about the previous year.
He did,
And it was early on, they had good numbers coming through right away.
Yeah, see, I don't, we only had two.
I will show that data, and I will get that out. Part of the problem is I'm kind of struggling with the management plan. We talked about using pit tags back in 06. We had issues with anesthesia and tagging, trying to make, you know, we got this incredible technology out there. And so that's where, when I switched positions, some of this kind of dropped off. I need to push it further.
So what he's talking about, I think what you're referring to is, so if we need more information, like, are these, what's the source of fish? Are there a lot of Bonneville cool fish using it? We had a plan to look at that, so.
But there aren't many data out there. The problem is what's been tagged, and not a lot of fish have been tagged.
But
so.
But we could tag more.
Sure.
The plan we rolled out 2 years ago through SRWG, we had the tribes and others collaborating with us. We provide pit tags, and when they're handling fish, they put them in their fish.
Are you able to? I mean, that's the thing. I thought about that, but I kind of wonder if it's possible to get enough fish.
The other question is that going to make a better decision or not?
Right. And I don't think so, because I don't think you're going to get enough fish to gain any statistically valid return results, route specific.
Well, in March, and B2 is the only powerhouse operating, that thing passes about 80% of the kelts going through that route.
Oh, it does.
With about a 70% detection rate.
Well, what was terrifying is
that many fish.
It's, you know, I think it will.
Well, what was terrifying is when you look at 04, was the only year that your corn collector had the corn collector operating. You only operated that corn collector 4 days in March, where all those other routes where you operated all through that time.
The data you have is
all the fish went through the corn collector.
Summer steelhead in April, mostly. You know, it's not March data you're looking at.
No. Yeah, I just don't know if you can get
enough
fish.
And then what did you get?
The other point on table 7, I guess, Wacky, what you said, it's based on a few adult returns. And I think for us to be consistent, because the core and BPA is shot down other studies that are based on, well, we, you know, there's seven adult fish that represents. We're not going to buy that. I would agree with that, too. I think there's great caution in making announcements with those kind of data.
Yeah. The first blush, looking at the table, it says, turbine's the best route passage. And
then you do the calculation and find out it's like five fish total for 3 years.
In my mind, this is really, for us, a policy issue we need to reconcile. Yeah. Make that has to be part of our recommendation.
Well, from NOAA Fisheries standpoint, we are going to recommend that this be March.
I can tell you, if it was free, I don't think anyone would argue with you.
Right. I know. It becomes
That's why I say it's a policy
money issue. And I don't want to get into, I know Jason called and wanted to talk about all the details of these fish. I don't want to do that. Yeah. That's beside the point at this point. Yeah, you could do that, but you're not going to come to any different conclusion.
The Bonneville pools ones, not the clicker test. This is the kelp issue.
Yeah, there's the other issue for this year and potentially future years is these clicker hatchery fish are coming through.
Hatchery fish, how many of those end up?
Would they only guess
the mitigation that it's important to the tribes, and we have tribal
experience.
And that's a bypass system. I would agree with Tom on that. We designed this to pass.
Tom, do you have review of pit tag data?
It's in the memo.
I'm
here early and I brought the memo.
Damn it.
What's
that?
What's the status? 105 and 3 or something.
Next year, hopefully,
they can't share. The only stage.
Yeah. Well, if the tide crane got back, they would have the 65 ton tray available.
How about the tide
crane? Yeah, but you still want to push buttons so that we can open and close it.
But also,
sorry,
hurry up, all right, we gotta start wrapping this up. We still got a lot of ground to cover. So we're bringing this back, and it's gonna.
I know. It's got legs.
It's got legs beyond this room.
You're not throwing it back at the March.
It'll be right. Damn. Is it open or not?
Yeah.
Go take a look.
So Tom has a review of pit tag data.
Dude, I'm here early and I'm bringing
ashes. This is like amazing.
Trying to kick fire into there. So, if you look attached page 10 of your agenda, you'll see the memo from Jeff Fryer. And he compared fish that were pit tag and fish that were sampled and not sampled. Basically found for.
Page 10 of where?
Page 10 of the agenda, the one that the big came ahead out. The big clip stapled one. Long and short of it was.
less than an hour for Chinook and about...
You're looking right at it.
This?
Yeah. And less than...
it's page 11.
About 2 hours for Steelhead when you look at two samplings. So that's basically what your delay is looking at. The more interesting thing was, the funny thing was, the fish that we sampled for Chinook had a higher detection rate upriver, which Jeff kind of explains. That was kind of a silly thing. And then, so that kind of gets at the more of the issue, like, do we seem to be having a long-term effect on the fish? Doesn't seem like it. From the data we've got in hand, we aren't seeing a drop-off of fish that are sampled at AFF. Steelhead are basically the same. So... Adult fish facility at Bonneville.
Oh, Bonneville.
It's where the researchers like to go squeeze fish. Mm. They can take photos of the big ones. See what I caught! Put a nice blue background. Make it look like Alaska. It's beautiful. Those are the Christmas cards.
Different screens. Well. Different screens.
Exactly. It's a blue screen's for.
So, I think this is basically everybody's going to have to digest this thing.
What's that?
Literature site.
Oh, no, that's mine. Okay. That's yours. I thought you almost scared me.
Jeff has got all the site of Pythagoras.
So, I guess I'm
yes.
Apologize for being stupid again, but I'm not following when this says...
getting a pinniped trap.
More than...
22
Chinook salmon went through the AFF more than once.
Some fish basically go through the AFF and they actually fall back down a ladder and then come back up.
Ah, okay.
Sorry.
I'm still on.
If they got sampled late in the day, they sometimes will fall.
Well, that's right.
They'll come back up.
Let's push this one off.
Oh, hey, this is for the first time we're going back.
Okay. So can we take the not talk about this thing much more right now and bring it to the next one?
If people have questions, bring it up. We'll talk about it more.
Because we've got to get to some other issues here.
I have new thoughts about it.
I got to pick my kids up, too.
This looks good.
So it brings us to the Smith Root proposal, Shane.
And did you make this Project 13 on purpose, Tammy?
and on Friday the 13th?
On Friday the 13th, yes, I'm here to talk about the Tom Lohr's Memorial Sea Lion Deterrence Array.
Sweet.
So, what do you get named for?
So Shane obviously is contracted by Smith Root, and they brought a proposal to the Corps to put a test array in the upstream migration tunnel at Bonneville.
There's drawings on the back if you want to look. It's the same thing as the agenda.
Back in early...
I don't think I gave them drawings.
February, we said, you know, it's going to be hard to do, but we're open to trying to get it in there. And since this, we've... you know, Shane's been very responsive to our questions that we've had, both at the technical and the operation and projects issues. But our
Those all go together. Those pictures. So.
Yeah. Our operations program manager and our technical project management have decided that we cannot install this based on. We haven't, you know, it's a two-phase project. We need to have a study design. The project's feeling like they're pinched for time, and we want it regionally coordinated, so we're recommending that we don't install it and go through the proper coordination and look into doing it next year.
Are you guys looking for having us go through SRWG, I'm assuming, or?
And Fitterwig and FPOM. The AFAP, SRWG and AFAP planning cycle.
You're talking AFAP, you're talking the council program.
I mean, it's... so we've asked Shane to come here and go ahead and present his proposal and start that process, but we have sent a denial letter to Carl Berger, and that's where we're at.
That's Berger.
Berger?
Berger.
Berger.
Berger. Well, you set out nice Valentine's.
Oh. It was after Valentine's Day.
So that's where we're at the core. And Shane.
Yeah, I'll try to keep it brief. This was a council-funded program, what do they call it, Scott?
The
innovative proposal. So Smith Root put in for this sea lion deterrence array using a modified electrofishing technology. They got the project and then assumed they were going to go directly in the Columbia River and put in a big electroshocking device. And folks reined them in a bit, and then they called their senators, and everything blew up. And everybody's mad, and I was called and asked to get involved, and so I've been working with them to coordinate with the region. And the 28th of January was a kind of Y'all Come Science meeting sponsored by Bonneville just to talk about some of their preliminary results on sturgeon, lamprey, and steelhead. The week prior to that meeting, I knew Gary was going to be in Vicksburg, so some of us sat down with Bonneville and Richie and Gary and just talked about some of the preliminary and results, and then the thought of the UMT test came up, or putting an array in the UMT to look at actively migrating fish in a kind of controlled environment in front of a viewing window, Didson, the whole nine yards. So at that point, thought, let's take a chance and see if we could possibly get this in, jump through the hoops and fill out the forms and talk to the folks and, you know, give it a college try. We actually, the structure's built, that's the pictures being sent around. It's a fiberglass framed structure with cutting board material attached to it. It's a 40-foot long channel and four components that would be lowered down to that UMT, and then turnbuckles above the waterline would be used to attach it and to secure it inside the inside the UMT. And it would narrow the structure about 3 inches on each side and 4 inches on the bottom. It's all nice transition. I have complete engineering drawings and hydraulic calculations for those folks who want to see them. It would increase water velocity about half a foot per second. Worked with Larry Swenson. He went over the hydraulic calc, so they look fine. Apparently talked with Gary quite a bit. This is within fish weight criteria. And the electric array would actually be attached to the inside of this insulated structure. And so the two phases was get this thing in the water before the end of February, and then phase two is work through the regional coordination to develop a study plan, and Matt Mesa would be contracted to do that work. He did the work on the preliminary test. So we've just been, I've been pushing this the last month and a half to try to see how far we can go. So we have a structure, we have a site, we still haven't started on study plan, but I think we have our, Bernie gave a good update to where we are at this point, so. Yes, sir.
So once this is in, if this was put in place, I know through the proposal it says it could be taken out without dewatering the structure.
Yes.
Physically, how long does that take? Do you anticipate it would take?
Well, just step through the steps. You have the structure sits in the UMT. There's three cross members. You put two slings underneath the cross members, and those will be attached to a crane. You undo the four turnbuckles, and it swings up and out of the way, and so half a day. But you know, getting people mobilized and core access and safety and using a crane, you'd have to get Smith Root. Yeah, so that's half a day plus core. So what's that? 7 days?
Yeah. Yeah, I was just curious about the physical.
As long as it's not
come on. Day.
We'll just deny it.
Why are we running here? But I got to poke you once.
Hey,
come on.
Poking's all right.
So it's not attached to the bottom or sides?
No, there's turnbuckles that go from the cross members. You know, there's a picture of a turnbuckle. I just tightened it down 400 pounds on each one and would secure it in that water
so
velocity.
It presses against the walls of that, so
there's no water going down the sides between.
There's a nose that goes on the front and the back, and that would be, I think there's a 3/8 gap all the way around the front and around the back. So there's a ramp transition going into and dropping out of.
You know, sure no water would get behind this thing?
Well, water, some water would. There's a 3/8 gap. Mm-hmm. So you'd have some water flow, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Cause rattles.
Luminous.
What's that?
Might cause rattles or, you know, some sort of noise behind
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
that's some of the unknowns.
That's some of the unknowns. There's a
scent issue.
Issues.
How many turnbuckles?
Just the four?
No, the electrical issue. And the electrical issue.
I have complete full-size engineering designs of my car. I didn't know
but,
folks would want to see
but more than just the four corners?
Oh, yes. I'm thinking two on each cross member, so that would be six per unit.
I think you could, with those, take care of any vibrations.
You just take the four on the side. And shift.
I mean, there's color issues or scent issues. That's something Russ Kiefer had a question on using solvents that would delay passage. It's all physical, whatever you call it, connection, nylon bolts. It's a fiberglass, gray fiberglass frame that you can see in some of the laminates. So it's all plastic. There's no metal. There's no oils. Food safe materials on that insulation system. And then the idea is you put the two leads over the side of the UMT and then go through the study plan, look what kind of energy levels you want to use and the period of testing. And then there's also some preliminary work on interference with pit tag system you need to look at. There's Sandra Downing at NOAA is involved and some of the Patagas folks at PSMFC. If this confuses the pit tag system, noise issues. So.
Yeah.
The Corps folks have been great on identifying, you know, throwing up roadblocks. I mean, identifying issues.
You seem to be talking to once, buddy.
Yeah, I get three.
Okay.
Three strikes and you're out. How many times have you poked that?
Right between the eyes. No,
my poke's
bigger. It was just one letter.
Well, we won't discuss that.
So
I mean, get out of the way here. Yeah. At least.
No, that's fine. As this decision stands, I think it's not necessarily a bad thing to actually talk with folks and sit down. And I mean, when I sat down with Smith Root, I still getting over the idea of throwing a hair dryer in a river with a bunch of ESA listed and non ESA listed animals. It's just it's a issue you need to work through. What's that?
It's Carl's favorite representation of electricity.
Right. Yeah, and the Smith Root folks are, and the Smith Root folks are very well connected politically, and they like emails and picking up the phone, and they. So I promised Tammy I would throw myself in front of congressmen running down I-5, flying in, and.
Well, so you know, take this and run with it, and see where, you know, we've got a lot of questions and.
I would. One of the issues we had with it was like sturgeon seems to be the kind of limited species, and this study would probably not deal anything with sturgeon levels, and that's a bit problematic for us, especially.
Yeah. Part of the reason this was chosen for that section of the letter, I don't know if you guys know, there's a window there.
From the sturgeon standpoint, just a comment on that. I wasn't viewing this as a leap from the window at Bonneville to the entire river. I mean, there are some other hoops to probably go through. This is just a salmon loop.
River test.
You guys probably recognize that, too.
Smith Root thought they were going to go in the river, and, after you kind of flick yourself off the floor, no, it's not going to happen. Yeah. They did the field tests with the lamprey, sturgeon, and the steelhead, and we just yesterday got the final draft report from Matt Mesa and Ken Ostrand. So the meeting we had on the 28th was just cobbled together and stuff thrown out there.
And the reason for the rush is that it will be another year before you can do it.
Right. And
so this particular site lent itself well to it has the fish at the right time of year. It doesn't have the sea lions because that's a two-year permit if you're going to do something that's in the river. It's got the sleds to keep them out. And then the sturgeon are very, very few that go through here. So we weren't looking at it.
And that's fine and well, but our problem is if the most sensitive species is sturgeon, I mean, you may set a level which is great for salmon, but if the sturgeon...
That's a good question.
So I'd be going, it's like, it seems like you want to be able to test sturgeon somehow.
Well, we do eventually, and there's thoughts of doing it in the lower end of the ladder where when you see those guys coming in for the shed, to be able to use the really big fish. I mean, the hardest part about sturgeon is getting fish of the appropriate size. You get smaller sturgeon, you can't get that really big one. And so we have to find a location where you can get the larger fish.
Well, anyone that's done any electroshocking is going to know the bigger the fish, the more they're going to sensitize to this thing. So it's like if you're having a problem with three-footers, you can pretty much guarantee the nine-footers or anything above that's going to have fish.
And that study, I asked when we saw that fish rolled over on the presentation, I asked Smith Root what happened. And that the sea lion deterrence level is 0.4 centimeters, 0.4 volts per centimeter. That's what sea lions, they were at 1.4 to 1.6 volts per centimeter, so 3 to 4 times higher. And those sturgeon were trapped over top of that array, and they went back and forth for 24 hours. So it was a 3 times extreme power-wise and 24 hours long. I mean, working with Jennifer Hurley, the sea lion behaviorist, the way this thing seems like it's going to work is you zap these guys when they show up and train them to the new sea lions when they show up. The sea lions that are there already might get through it. And you'd probably have to use some kind of other
Well, the only other thing when with hearse, I thought, you know, they're sensitive through their whiskers, and you know these animals are smart. They're going to get their heads out and just cruise.
Right. Right, they're not going to get
shocked.
Or they're going to walk around.
You do get shocked, because when I suck my hands, all you got to do is hold them about this far apart. And so they're going to have enough of their body. They're really sensitive on their faces, which I'm trying to say. But you can still feel it. I mean, it's the boom, 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 boom.
Okay, they feel those cracker shells when we hit them. That didn't seem to do much.
No, but it's not like they're not going to get shocked at all.
I don't think anybody is thinking that we're going to get rid of the problem sea lions with this. This is to start training sea lions that are fresh out of the ocean to that this is not a good place to be. So we're still going to have to take a lot of these guys out that are, you know, they're habituated to this location. And as far as sturgeon goes, I see that as something that's another step, but this is a step that will at least get these guys past the adult salmon concerns that we have, or not, but at least attest that. And then there are other steps that go through lamprey, sturgeon, all the others. But actively migrating adult salmon that are naive and first approaching and passing their first dam, I can't think of a better location to do this because, one, you're in Cascade Island Ladder, which has got it's one of many ladders at Bonneville. You're not endangering the entire run like you would in the tail race of one of the powerhouses or all the powerhouses. Or if you're in a ladder such as the Washington Shore, which has a lot more fish passing through it because it's attached to, you know, all four entrances at the powerhouse there, no more than that, floating orifices. So this is the least amount of potential impact and allows you to, now one thing we haven't talked about is how you would shut this down, you know, based on what observations. I'm a little concerned about item number 3 in the proposal, which is trying to determine at what point do you, in effect, migration. That concerns me because. You know, I mean, I don't know that I want to affect migration at all. So I'd be more. I was thinking we would look at the levels that Smith Root thought was appropriate and see if they affected salmon. If they didn't, we're good. We're not going to be ratcheting up until we try something.
This was a recommendation of Jennifer Hurley. She's the researcher from Moss Landing that is the sea lion behaviorist. She said that if you start out with a weak level on
and then
these,
train them as
and
you
train
go
them,
up,
they will kill themselves
right,
getting
understand
through.
Understand that, too.
So she says hit them hard first. So the idea was to test the 0.4 volts per centimeter as the deterrence array, but then in a controlled environment, maybe we go back to our hatchery, look at the level that stops fish, so you know absolutely how high you can go.
That's what I would do first.
What's your buffer in between?
I would do that kind of work off-site and determine some of that before you do it. You know, then we can go to those levels and see what happens.
But for the same reason, I think that makes the data suspect, because if you're trying to determine if salmon having the urge to go upstream and spawn are going to be stopped by this array or not, where are you going to get that fish to test in somewhat natural system
other than a bottom
other than there?
Right, I think that's why this is the best laboratory.
Right.
I would only say that if you wanted to get
a
location where fish would have a violent reaction, I wouldn't want to do that with wild migrating fish. I want to do that with fish that are in a hatchery that, you know, we don't care as much about, to get that kind of reaction so that you know you don't want to go there. You just say, okay, whoops, you know, that's too much. Then don't do that
Picture this array. I mean, the fish would swim into it and start getting narcotized. They would swim up to get out of the array, and then the water would just push them back down. That's the idea with the in-river array. As fish are coming towards this, they either deflect. The sea lions would deflect before the fish would. They're actually done some research on segregating large fish from small fish.
You're right.
In hatchery condition, and the larger fish won't go after these guys.
Dave's right. The only way to do this is to do it there, because you're looking for a behavioral response that you'll never see in a hatchery situation. You're going to have to see this at the location, but you're going to have some very, very strict, stringent, fail-safe reaction type of observations that say, okay, whoops, too much, stop.
Well, but you could still do in the hatchery and figure out where you affect a hatchery fish in the hatchery or going towards it.
And then
use that as your starting point, as level, and see if you're seeing that effect in the UMT.
That's what I was thinking, Tom.
That's how I probably start, because I don't think I'd want to spend a lot of time figuring out what levels you want to do. I think you want to have a pretty certain level saying, this is as high as we want to go. You do that test, you do it quickly if you're going to do it, get in and out as fast as you can. Because I don't think you want to sit there and have the fussing around going like, this level a little more, this level a little less, because...
isn't there enough field data from all the years that people have been electrofishing that you're going to know...
Not at that level.
Not at that level. Not a behavioral aspect, so that's what we're going to hear.
We can wrap it up in a minute here. Yeah,
so these are the things that I guess would look for regional input on is... what kind of sturgeon test, lamprey test.
Let's have a special meeting on this.
One other thing I didn't say, I want to put this out first. Is this dead? Has the core killed this?
Yeah.
For this year.
It's killed for this year.
Yeah.
Okay.
The timing.
So we got plenty of time.
Study plan. And
you guys are kicking this SRWG.
Yeah.
Okay.
And that gives them time to get good.
Move on.
Their study plan together.
I'll take next week off.
I'm sure you will.
Everyone else is on vacation.
Exactly. I got to go back and face Carl.
Spill response plan. Can it be modified? We have a John Day one. Can we modify that for the Bonneville?
This can be pushed off.
We can push that one off. But
the answer is yes.
Yes, it. You're there.
Yes. Can
fish passage. Plant fish graphs that we. Had the FFU put together.
Yes.
Come on over here, FFU.
Did you guys get a chance to look them over? We're just looking for input. We didn't know exactly what you wanted. Diurnal distribution.
They were emailed out on 9 February.
So that if there's some sort of management decision you guys need to make, like when's the best time to do this?
Oh, I think they were great, but I think you're right. If you put them in a book, it's going to be...
We're up to 84 with just...
Is this something that we could put online?
Well, we can put it on the website for you guys. The discount website. That's where our suggestion is.
That's a good idea.
I want to say they were very good. I mean, they look really great. I looked through all of them. But you had some that are just a plain old chart-type graph. I don't know. I think I'd prefer the line-type thing with the bars.
Some were histograms just because the numbers were so small.
Okay. That's probably the reason for that, then.
Okay. And that's just
anything where on the upper screen.
You want to bother with Chum and Pink and some of these crazy things.
All one of them?
And what kind of time frame are you talking about? Do you want to talk about Chinook all season long? Or do you want to talk about Chinook, spring Chinook and fall Chinook? I mean, help us.
Summer Chinook? Yeah.
Or we can just give you the database and you can play with it as much as you guys want. But we're willing to do it. Just let us know a little bit more what you want. You don't have to make a decision now. Just get back to us with what you want.
I mean, the idea here was to have graphs available for everybody to use, especially the core, look at and making recommendations on taking things
See,
out.
See, this is good for day stuff, but, for outages that last a week, we have to look at it in a different time frame.
We've got daily stuff.
We've got the daily stuff, and that's what I basically did, my judgment.
Yeah, but even if you're going to take an outage for a week, is it better in the first part of March or the second part of March?
Or the middle of March.
You're still going to have some
ability
to fine-tune your flexibility.
Where closest comes next?
Where are these at? I just dropped in out of
Tammy
the
emailed them
last night. So
there were several phone numbers.
Tammy emailed them out in your inbox.
It's in my inbox.
Inbox. They might not be next. They might be overflow. So they might be just dumb.
Could be.
We can send them to you again.
But I appreciate the efforts in the
inbox.
So we want them on the website?
I'm sure they're good.
Yeah, well, everybody review them, get comments back to Stancil through Tammy or to Stancil.
Get in line for comments.
And
well, if you have any.
Right now, we'll just plan on putting them on the site
first to get you.
We can do that.
It seems like that's the best place to put them.
Do you think so? I mean, is that where the operators and the guys like Dennis Schwartz?
They're not going to be the ones making that decision. It'd be the bios.
It'd be the bios.
Yeah.
Okay. The bios actually review this stuff.
Stop.
I'm surprised.
Good answer. You don't want an answer to that.
Do you see that coordination
Are you poking, buddy?
Yeah. I've seen some of these dates come out. I wonder who the heck looked at it.
Okay. Let's wrap it up.
So for now, they're going to be posted on the web.
Yeah.
That would be ideal, and then we'll provide comments of who's when. Tweets.
On the fish passage.
With Tammy's calendar.
Okay. fish passage plan approval. It's on the website. Changes. We have a bunch of change forms to go over.
We need to go through all of these. I need approval or disapproval. No, I'm not kidding.
Well, and I'm not prepared to do this in 5 minutes because everybody's anxious. I mean, I have some questions about it. So,
some of them can be denied.
Well, we need to wrap it up.
I assume we'd be starting this a little bit sooner. So.
Okay, so
it's a day-long meeting.
Some of them are pretty. Some of them are from the January meeting. I just want to document that they are approved. Some of them are new changes that the projects have found as they've gone through their FTP further.
I'm going to get back to you tomorrow.
Okay.
Sorry, I just did not.
Won't you all bother? Just have everyone get back.
Yeah, everybody's Timmy
had one
out right
to get a McNary conversation.
Yeah.
The initial change form I saw had a limit that the turbines would be operated at 12 kcfs. I don't see it in the change form that I'm reading.
Oh, that's right.
And so,
what's the number on it?
It was going to be. Let me get
Martin on.
Martin.
Number 21, page 21.
Turbine unit operation?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
But what's the change form number?
Page whatever that
is. 08, McNary 007.
07. Okay, thank you.
Page on that, Tom?
Page 21.
Yeah, I've gotten a couple of different documents on this one, so.
Right, so I was really reacting to the one that isn't here, because the operating range was severely restricted in the one that I read as that was supposed to be the change.
Okay.
So yeah, what are we going to do about that? You going to resubmit a change form?
No, I will just change it right here is what we will do, and I will label it 07-A.
A.
And I will hug it and squeeze it and call it George.
Well, we don't have any concerns about changing the interparty to what you guys suggested. What we do have concerns with is that in the change form I did see, the unit operating range went from a 7.7 to 12.5, which is normal, to only a 12 to 12.5. So when the unit was on, it was either on or off. And that one is not flying.
This is a new turbine unit.
Well, the question we had was, I guess the question is, obviously all turbine units would probably be not the best idea, but what about a block of them?
There was a suggestion of three having some flexibility.
There
was also some of the some of the Fitterwig information that went out.
What is
that?
Showing.
This is
funny thing. I'm looking at my
proposal B.
Right there.
Proposal A.
Okay, basically.
Let me write down what it is so I know what it is later. Is this McNary's?
This is for McNary.
McNary's
turbine. Turbine operations. And that's what these things are. The current existing FPP, if you see that chart right there, you're operating all the units as it shows right here into the max 1% level. Units 14 through 4 should be operated as basically a maximum 1% operation range. But here,
that's not how we operate currently.
That's how we operate currently. Okay,
that
right
is
there.
Or is not?
That is the way it is the fifth passage plan. The next page, existing FPP number 2. You can see that basically the same thing. It says 12. It should be, I think, 13. Should be about 14, isn't it? 14.
Yeah. 12.5 there.
Yeah, 12.5, excuse me. That's what you didn't have on that thing there. But he'd be putting the first three units on manual operation, where the rest of them would be regular GDAX type operation. That's the limits that they have on those things right there. And it is that's the way it is in existing, but he's. The first three units are manually operated.
on and off to get to that point there.
You sure it's written that way in the fish pass plan, or that's just how they're operating?
That's how they're operating, right.
Right, it's not written that way in the plan.
No, it's not written that way in the plan. The difference that they would like to go at with the term approval of proposal A and B. A, we're looking at, what is it, 13.5 to 14.5 is the max level of 1% operating range. That's what they're looking at.
But it's not. When you look at the table in there, I printed the table up here, I mean, 12.3 is the max.
Yeah.
So I mean, you guys have a couple different proposals.
There's two things
there.
Going on. There's a...
Here's the table.
I think we need to have a change form submitted that explains it all.
We sort of did, but I was reacting because this isn't the change form that they sent.
There's two things going on here. One was the study to look at, which above peak, which is a study. It's an SRWG issue, trying to get ramrodded through this year. The other is to limit the operation of all the units, except for maybe a couple, to 12K.
Right, and that's what I was reacting.
That was a new one to me too, because I don't. That kind of was new, but Martin called me this morning and asked me, told me about it, what the rationale was, that there was, a couple units could be left as adjustable units, adjustable levels, but primarily you'd run most of them at a flat level, at what we thought was the best within peak. Geometry. The question then is, does BPA have a problem with that in terms of flexibility issues?
And we do.
And to what degree? I mean, can you run two of them at flat 12 and the rest 12 have to be adjusting, or can it be the other way around where it's...
Right, and that's what we would like to look into more. I mean, like I said, I've gotten only had this for a day, and there's three different versions of what it is that I was supposed to decide.
Yeah. And I got this, what was it? Yeah, yesterday morning.
I mean, this shouldn't even
so
be
are you going to be able to come up with the proper language and what?
I cannot, because I don't know what they're asking to change.
Right. This should be out here. This shouldn't be in this group, for one. This looks to me like this is an SRWG. This is proposal, and this would be Appendix A.
I don't do anything with Appendix A.
Right, you don't. It's SRWG, and then it would go into Appendix A, and that's just there. It's outside of it. The other issue is a change to the unit operating priority in the plan. That's the 12K thing.
But this doesn't exist in the plan. The 12K thing doesn't exist. How they
it does not now.
No.
Absolutely.
And so that's the other thing that I'm reacting to. Right.
And where is the change form for that? That's your question, Emily.
Well, right, this one doesn't have that in there. There was one that I had that does have it in there, but that's not what we're deciding on. I don't mind what the order is.
This is the third one. You're right. There's three things. I'm confused, too.
Okay, well,
who's
this
on first?
Is everything that I've gotten, so
yeah.
If there's anything additional, I haven't seen it.
Okay.
Well, there's three things going on here now, then. There's a unit priority change, there's a flat load at 12 issue, and then there's this the study for peak efficiency at optimum geometry operating, which is a study. And that's what this pertains to, is that study. Because I see the 14s and the 15s.
Right, the 14s and 15s,
those need to be talked about in a different form.
All right.
Here.
And all
the
unit priority one and the
12K one is the one we're kind of missing.
And
that, I know Martin and I talked about this morning, but I thought I'd see something here.
Okay.
Right, that's right there.
And it's really, from my standpoint, and probably from the other bios,
sounds like something.
We're okay with doing that. I think that makes sense.
There's a third one.
To do the 12K flat and keep
the one right there.
Unfortunately.
But you sort of.
Let's operate it. Yeah, this thing.
That's the one right there.
Right. That's the third.
Mm-hmm.
The third one.
Okay. And that's the one that I thought that this was going to be, but it's not. So.
Do the folks, everybody understand what the 12K issue is?
No.
Okay, well, let me just throw that out there. I don't know about this one. This change, just ignore this one now in the operating. That's a different issue. But what that is, that's getting more flow over towards the TSWs. Okay, that's what that's about.
Okay.
That's pretty simple.
And we're fine with that.
And that should make sense to everybody. The other one is to, what we're seeing is the McNary units are running from anywhere from 8 KCFS all the way, maybe even less, up to 12 and 12 and a half, which is at peak, the upper end of peak efficiency. You've all been down to the model at one time or another and seen the McNary model and what it looks like when it's running at low end versus upper end. Best geometry, you have, you know, what I look at it, I look at the beads coming through, it's like snow falling through, it just falls straight down. At the lower ends, it comes through and it's all torqued and there's a rope that runs off the hub, which ends up going through one draft tube or another and causing either higher flow on one side or the other, lots of turbulence, lots of potential for delay and injury there. So what we're thinking is, and what the data tends to support, is that the more flow you put through those units, up to 16 or so KCFS, the better the ride is through the unit. So what we'd like to see is some limitation put on how low they go. And that's going to be dependent on what BP needs for flexibility, but can we limit the operation of some of the units to as high as possible?
So would that be like a soft constraint?
Be like a soft constraint, but whenever possible, keep them loaded. And GDAX can be programmed to do basically whatever you need to do. So if you keep X number of units at the highest end, and then you adjust X number of units as needed by BP for flexibility, you know, what's the limit? That's really up to you guys to determine what the limit is. Maybe there's nothing. You can do nothing. You got to have every unit, but it seems to me you ought to be able to at least give us a few units that could be maintained high. And then the question to me that I don't have an answer for, but probably you'd follow the priority, is which ones.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And we're fine with all trying to coordinate that, but it takes a couple of things. You're going to have to figure out what your ranges you're asking for. And then you have to figure out if transmission, sometimes they need a lot of units on at a lower level. And so I'll have to run it by them to get that answered.
Sure. You'll just have to explain to me real quick. What's the difference between having a lot of units on at a lower level versus fewer units at a higher level if it's producing the same amount of electricity?
It's bars. The amount of spinning mass, those things called bars that we've talked about on and off from TMT. And so that's why we run Singer's Condensed, John Day and the Dalles. It's to have spinning mass. And so if you can put on more spinning mass with the same amount of water, they prefer to do that. And so this is going contrary to that. We're putting the minimum amount of spinning mass on. And so this is a real critical juncture in the transmission system with Ice Harbor the way it is. And so you can't just jump in and say yes without coordinating that thoroughly through them as to what their needs are.
Yeah, that's fine. And that's, you know, I'm kind of filling a lot of gaps here because I don't know. You know, I haven't seen anything written either. This is from a conversation with Martin. And
sure. I mean, I'm sort of jumped at the same thing. My shop's reacting much to the memo that isn't this memo. And then there's a study memo. So
yeah. Well, the study's a whole different thing, and that's, you know, that's to get at the peak survival operating. That's, you know, that's biological index testing.
Right, and if you keep the same range of flexibility and you just move it up, there's probably a great chance you're going to get that.
Yeah.
The delta is really important. The low end probably isn't as...
Well, for one thing, it would result in less involuntary spill, so you know, that would be somewhat lucrative to you guys.
Not that time of year, but you never know.
Because of the wind generation and everything else.
Well, no, because
it's... More anyway,
so. Right.
So all these issues are right now?
No, I mean, all these issues are wrapped together. I can't react to this one. I'm fine with this change.
He needs
form.
To see a written proposal for the 12K flat load.
Right,
which
that's
I
not
I
this
see.
One.
It's not that
right,
one.
This one that's fine. It changes
but
your party.
It's this one there.
That one there that isn't in a change form.
It's an additional one there.
Right. Change
so we need a change form for that.
A new change form.
Yeah, Martin needs to put together a new change form or somebody or somebody that outlines exactly what they're thinking. Because I'm not sure what, you know, I heard from Scott that it's 12. Yeah. Exactly. I didn't know that what it was, you know, what the limits were. You saw something I haven't
seen. Well, this
seen.
Is his email that he's got that came through Martin.
Separately. Okay, you've got that.
And it was highlighted as a change form in one of the attachments. And so it's like, okay, you guys are trying to do the FPP, but what is it?
What is it?
No, this is not formally submitted.
No, but there's one that's written up that was attached that is written as a change form.
Okay, we need to see that. Yeah. Wherever that is.
So as far as that one goes and the rest of the change forms, you got to read it tomorrow, but I mean the drop dead date would be the Wednesday, the
25th, because I'll be 25th. Out of town. So have them to me by the time
tomorrow. What phone number are you at tomorrow?
You can call me on my BlackBerry.
There's a lot of these things I wanted to discuss. I just don't know, but because I don't know them, I don't understand.
What's your contact?
08 Bonneville 017. No chance in hell.
017?
Camus Washugal,
yeah.
Yeah, that's it. We don't support that one. That'll be a policy issue. That'll get run out of the flagpole.
What's that one?
Camus Washugal as an age.
Hey, folks?
Yeah.
Holy Lord. It's enjoyable to listen in.
You made it. Don't worry, I haven't missed anything.
Yeah. But I'm going to have to bug out.
Sorry, we didn't even get to yours yet.
And that was the other one was the change from going from a staggered transport start to basically going to the April 20th. That one's also going to have some policy.
It's policy.
There.
It's not us.
Well, there isn't even a change form on that.
I know. We made comments to higher up saying we don't support that change.
That's more of a FOP issue anyway.
Yeah, it's a FOP.
Yeah.
It's a FOP. A flump.
So can we wrap this up so we can get out of here?
My family might want to see me.
Burn. Can I call you tomorrow and have some discussion?
I got somewhere like
yeah, I'll be in at 8.
Almost 7 o'clock.
I'll make dinner.
You can call me.
808-4318.
You weren't vacation.
4318.
I'm going out here, man. I am just like,
where are you going to be?
After you call
me.
We're done.
Okay, one more time.
Thanks for sticking it out.
I got those two numbers in my office. I didn't know.
And thanks for coming. Who's driving that way?
573.
Where do you need to go?
I need to go down to Water Street and Morrison Bridge.
I can't call you anymore.
Are you heading that way?
I have no phone number.
No.
MLK and.
How fast?
I could.
I need to go there. Are you really?
When
you need to leave? Never get any
right now.
You give me 3 minutes, I can give you a ride. Okay. I just got somebody by the office to make sure I don't have anything. Like, I don't need my pulse. People like, I'll grab one. I just want to make sure I'm not
going to make
the opposite. I have some pulse people breathing down my neck.
Bye.
Bummer.
Well, I really wanted to talk about it.
Wait for you, mister.
Hey,
you're going to have all the time.
Wait for you tomorrow.
Cheer Gowan,
buddy.
You better wait for
that one tomorrow.
End of April.
3956. I got it.
Someone got to talk to you.
I like the idea. I haven't been down there in 2 years now. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get away down there this year. You can hike it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Backpacking mountain bike.
No, that's the simple stuff.
Where are you going?
That you're reading there.
Arizona
Cherokee.
My planned midlife crisis.
Who's going?
Plugger Nuts or something. It just didn't match. And I fly into Phoenix, hit the mountains that night, and then hit.
We're going to drive right down.
We're going to drive as far as we can. That's why we're hoping you would go. You drive all the way up.
I just drove back from
the
Yeah.
I was like, a long haul trucker.
Brownsville
just language too.